Welcome to the Hollywood Outsider, an award-winning weekly entertainment podcast. In this episode, we are breaking down the exciting developments from the 2018 San Diego Comic-Con, Aquaman, Fantastic Beasts, Shazam, Glass, and so much more. Let's get on with the show. My name is Aaron Peterson. Joining me today, my fellow host, Amanda Sink.
Hello, hello.
Hello, Amanda. You're just not gonna quit that.
I'm not gonna quit it.
All right. And coming back, also from the Gaming Outsider, a founding member of Ho, Scott Clark.
What is going on, Aaron?
What's up? How's summer, Teach?
Summer's pretty good, man. I'm enjoying it. Not as much as you'd think I would be, but I'm definitely enjoying it quite a bit. Looking forward to get back to school, actually, believe it or not.
That sounds very professional. Sounds like what you have to say.
Are you waiting for a promotion or a raise right now?
Not at all. I wish I was getting a promotion. No, I enjoy being in a classroom with kids, and there's going to be a whole new group of them. I get to meet them, and I'm looking forward to it. The first couple weeks of school are awesome, and then the honeymoon wears off. And they get comfortable with me, and then they start acting up. But the first couple weeks are great.
It's like being a parent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, that was great. All right, I'm done. 18 more years? Really? That's exhausting. This week, we are diving into San Diego Comic-Con 2018. So if you're not familiar, the San Diego Comic-Con is one, or SDCC, as the cool kids call it, is one of the largest industry conventions in the world.
And every nerds.
Everywhere. Everywhere. I've actually been a couple of times. It is a fantastic event. I really love it. And every year, we at the Hollywood Outsider cover our favorite elements of the show. Trailers, news, panels. And this year, we even have Kyle Nolan from NoReruns.net, who was live at the event. He's going to offer you a few exclusive takes on the happenings there. He's going to take you into the Jack Ryan experience. That's really cool. He's going to talk about, he saw the Mayans premiere, the pilot. You know, Sons of Anarchy, Mayans, the
Sons of Anarchy without white dudes.
Yep, that one. And then there's a movie called, or a show called Manifest, which is coming out on NBC, which is basically Lost, but not Lost, but it's Lost. So you got that.
It's Lost with a twist.
Yeah, it's Lost-ish. It's kind of Lost. It's more like...
It's Wandering.
Wandering. They should call it... Man, I would totally watch a show called Wandering.
You're welcome.
Yeah. All right, well, there's a ton to talk about, so we're going to just get into it. All three of us have our own panel of things to discuss. So if you've never listened to our Comic-Con episodes, basically each one of us has our own section of talking points. And we're going to start with you, Amanda. So what's on your panel? What do you want to talk about? We're getting right into this. Normally we take forever to get into something, but
we'll
go right into it.
Okay, yeah. So the first one that I want to talk about, I'm so excited about. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. Okay, so Fantastic Beasts 2. Okay. I cannot express how excited I am because I did not – okay, I love the Harry Potter franchise, but when it came to the first Fantastic Beasts, I was really, really underwhelmed. I think partly because it was so far away from what I was expecting because I never
read
the
Hermione.
Book.
That's why.
Or that too. That too. But anyway, so – in this one, we're getting more information about, and it's connecting more to the Harry Potter franchise too. You're getting closer to that tie and that element of a franchise that you might know so well. So at the end of the first film, the powerful dark wizard, Grindelwald, which is Johnny Depp's character, was captured and with the help of Newt Scamander. But making good on his threat, Grindelwald escaped custody and has set about gathering followers, most unsuspecting of his true agenda, which is to raise pure blood wizards up to rule over all non-magical beings. So basically,
he's like Magic Hitler.
Pretty much. He doesn't like any muggles. He's exactly what's wrong with, you know, he's the evil within the whole franchise, the whole story plot.
Oh, man. I don't think I like where this is going.
I hope he has a pirate hook.
Just wait. There's so much that is like in the books that they're kind of inching towards in this movie that you can see in the trailer.
Well, can I ask you a question, Amanda? Because you've read this book, right?
I haven't read Fantastic Beasts, but I've read some of the Harry Potter books.
Okay, so, well, maybe you can still answer this because I honestly don't know. Is this a continuation of the same book? I mean, did we get the first half of Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them with the last movie, and this is doing the second half of the movie, or is this just like continuing on in it? Because the whole first movie was finding those Fantastic Beasts. I feel like does this need to be called the same thing? Or are they doing it just for namesake?
So I don't know in terms, because I haven't read the book and I don't like looking into it too much, but I can tell you that the way that this second movie is set up ties directly into like where Harry Potter ends up, like that franchise. So my my understanding, and I'll kind of break down some of that for you guys too, is that it has to, I feel like it has to be in the book for as neatly tied together as it is. It would be a little suspect, or maybe they're just really clever and creative. And
well, Dumbledore's in it. I mean,
he is. Yeah. So this is the first glimpse we're going to get of Dumbledore, which is going to be Jude Law's character. So it's going to be interesting. I think when you watch the trailer, you're going to feel like it's actually Harry Potter again. I feel like I missed that feeling in the first Fantastic Beasts. And I don't know if I'm alone, but it felt too different the way that it was presented. Not the story, just the visual impact.
It didn't feel as magical.
It didn't.
You didn't have the kid that is pointless in every movie.
That's not very nice.
The kid that has to call his friends to help him.
Oh, that's not
nice. You're the chosen one who can't do anything.
He inspires and motivates.
That's cool, because he doesn't do anything.
He ends up getting all the credit. So anyway.
Can you talk about how Johnny Depp, own that hall? Did you see where he came out? Did you happen to see that panel? Johnny Depp comes out. Scott, did you check this out? He comes out in character, like a weird freaky that he is. And he's like, hey, all you people, that applause is for you. And I'm like, this is the weirdest thing I've ever seen, but kind of awesome.
Yeah, he was super in character. His hair, I mean, yeah, he looked ridiculous.
I love it when people do that, or when actors do that. It's just like, do it in character.
He just cosplayed his own panel.
You don't see too many actors cosplay at Comic-Con, so hey, I'll give it to him.
Well, I figure Amber Heard was there, so he probably had to hide.
Oh, man. Yeah, that caused quite a commotion.
It sure did.
Back to the second one. So this one is going to be about, because we know that Grindelwald's plans are to get rid of muggles. He doesn't want muggles. He wants pure-blood wizards. And so Dumbledore, his objective is to basically be in complete opposition of that. If you know Harry Potter, you know Dumbledore is one of the more pure characters of the entire series and franchise, and he's the good guy. So
he's so pure, he got a whole new body halfway through the series.
There you go. That too. Yeah. Well, that happens. So Dumbledore actually enlists his former student, Newt Scamander, and he agrees to help, but he has no idea of what's actually ahead of him. So there's lines that are drawn as love and loyalty are tested, even among the truest friends and family in an increasingly divided wizarding world. So we kind of saw some of this in Harry Potter, where we, especially with Hermione, I feel like they really touched on the bullying for muggles. And that was, in the future. This is kind of taking it back to, maybe where it actually started, where that all derived from. So it'll be really interesting.
So it's X-Men.
So wait, there's more.
I mean, how much more? Because I'm starting to not care about Harry Potter anymore.
Well, okay. So I'm just going to try to go through. There's a couple of things that we learned from this trailer.
Scroll.
We learn a lot from this trailer, particularly Dumbledore. We learn a lot about him, and we come to learn what he saw in the Mirror of Erised, which is, the mirror is basically shows you, when you look into it, your deepest and most desperate desire within your hearts. And we get to see what that is for Dumbledore. I don't want to tell you in this, just in case you're one of those people who wants to find out what that would be on screen, but they do show it to you in the trailer if you're a little wary of that. But then we also learn Newt's greatest fear. So they kind of take you on the same journey that the original franchise did, where they're in the room and they have to conjure their greatest fear in front of them and face it. And so that was kind of refreshing to see that correlation and tie back to the originals and see how they're trying to, I feel like they're trying to show you that this is going to be separate, but also very much so attached to the original Harry Potters.
I feel like that's what people wanted with the first one. They wanted to see the tie-in, but we didn't know we were going to have a second one, or there was going to be more when that first one came out. And so now we're finally getting the payoff.
Did you like the first one?
It was okay. I didn't love it. I was never like a pothead. What do you call it? I was never a big Harry Potter fanatic. First time I watched the whole thing was with Amanda, I think two and a half years ago. Sat down and watched all of them, and I really did enjoy them. I just never got massively into it. So going into I didn't have a whole lot of skin in the game, mm-hmm. even though I did watch those movies by that time. But it felt so different from what I liked about the others that I just thought it was okay. I really liked the characters, but I just didn't really care about what was going on with the story. And you know me and animals, so I didn't really care.
Wow.
Is Dan Fogler getting a bigger role this time around? Because I really dug him in the first
one. I did like him. He was great.
Yeah. I don't know how deep his role is going to be in the story itself, but I know he's going to be a part of it.
Well, I know he joined Walking Dead, so he can't be getting too involved, apparently.
Yeah, I was going to say, I actually thought it was weird seeing him in there. All I saw when I saw that trailer was Balls of Fury. Like, what's the Balls of Fury guy doing here?
You know, the funniest thing, I think Jude Law looks great in the trailer. Jude Law really looks like he's going to make Dumbledore his own. He's going to make him kind of a fun, quirky, crazy wizard. I like that. I really dig that. Johnny Depp feels like Johnny Depp. I really feel like he's not even playing a character. He's just playing Johnny Depp, and they gave him some contacts and hair dye. I mean, that's who I see him be in interviews where he's like, hey, I'm Johnny Depp, and yeah.
I don't know, man. I'm getting a little vibe of that vampire movie he was in a few years ago.
Vampire movie?
Yeah.
What vampire movie? Sleepy Hollow?
No. There was supposed to be like a comedy.
Dark Shadows.
Oh, why do I always keep forgetting this that movie?
That's not a good thing. I hope not. I hope it's not like that because, I mean, that was all right, but I don't know if I want to see that ever again.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yikes. Well, that's not a good feeling.
So you're excited for this one.
I am.
Fantastic Beasts 2.
Yes.
You sure you don't have any more information on this, Amanda?
No, I feel like you guys can look through it. Figure it out.
Detail. Oh, by the way, I should mention all the trailers are available at thehollywoodoutsider.com. So you can go there and find trailers at Comic-Con, and all these trailers will be listed there. I'm excited for that one. I'm not as pumped as you are, Amanda. You're obviously really stoked for it.
I am.
I like the first one quite a bit, but I'm also kind of like, after 9 or 10 or 20 movies, whatever they're at, I'm kind of like, I'm in a rush, but I'll watch it.
Yeah, I will definitely be there opening night, but for me, it's mostly because I didn't get this much excitement even watching the trailer for the first Fantastic Beasts. It was just more like, it's part of the Wizarding World, I'm almost obligated to see it, otherwise I lose my stamp.
You know, one of my biggest problems with it is the title. Just call it Fantastic Beasts or something, but that Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them Too, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Keep Looking for Them. I mean... the title is a problem for me.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. It's really long.
But
so was Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. Harry Potter and the this
well,
and
you
that.
Always, yeah.
Harry Potter and the
yeah.
You ain't Indiana Jones, bitch. You're Harry Potter.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Harry Potter 2.
Back
Harry Potter 3.
Up.
Harry Potter 4.
No.
Harry Potter, why hasn't this kid done anything
I
yet?
I feel like those movies just go by their after title or whatever you call it. It was always like the Sorcerer's Stone or the Goblet of Fire, or, you know, it was never, nobody ever said, hey, let's go see Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows too. You know what I mean?
I want to see how it all ends. I can tell you how it ends. He wins. Done. He saves so much money.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, no. That's
all right.
That's
cool. Well, we'll move on from your wrong opinions onto.
I'm excited for it. I'm just not like a potheader.
Potterhead.
No, I like pothead better. I
no,
really
that's
do.
That's what people used to joke when they were making fun of it, when they were mocking it.
Yeah,
you
still
don't
funny.
Mock the Potter.
I think Scott did.
I don't think he meant to.
Yeah, he did.
He was like innocent.
Oh yeah, that was for sure on purpose.
Oh, that's not very nice.
What else we got?
Rugrats. I'm also really excited about this. So,
were you alive when that came out?
Yeah, I watched it growing up. The TV
not
show
like reruns,
and the movie.
Like,
yeah.
Like, okay. Okay.
Yeah, I was.
That show was insanely popular. I remember the movie made like almost $200 million or something crazy. It was yeah. Ridiculous how well it did.
I have a couple of friends who are in their late 30s who still kind of like maybe watch this.
Like the show?
Both.
They just sit at home and I'll bet you they're Potterheads.
No.
They just eat Cheetos and watch Rugrats all day.
So, well, let's get back to this. So, the Rugrats are going to be getting a revival series with 26 episodes. But wait, there's more. They're also getting a Rugrats movie. It's coming out on November 13th of 2020. Get excited. Put it on your calendars.
I'm right now. Wow. That's so enthusiastic.
It is. But also, I'm really excited about the movie because the cool part is they are going to use a blend of live action and CGI characters, which they have not done for any of the Rugrats movies or TV show. So it won't
That's
be
weird.
Fully animated. It is going to be weird, but it might be awesome.
Is it like Scooby-Doo then?
Well, hopefully a little bit better than Scooby-Doo. But, I mean...
Shut your mouth, man.
I mean, I still like them. Yeah, but anyway.
I feel like that style of movie works for something like, and I didn't like these movies, but like Alvin and the Chipmunks and the Smurfs, where you got characters that are from another world or, you know, aren't human. If you're just making animated babies, or for Rugrats to work, it's got to be that animation style. You can't.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You can't make it like CG realistic, like Scooby-Doo, like how they made the dog. And now the dog didn't look super realistic, but look more realistic than a hand-drawn animation. I think if they don't go hand-drawn animation with that or computer animated like that, it's going to be a problem.
Well, I'm eager to see how it looks because it's something that I wouldn't have expected. So I think if the
is the series going to be that way too? Or series
no,
be
the series
cartoon?
Is going to be animation.
Well, now it's just all kinds of weird. It's like they couldn't decide, and some guy in the green room was like, "Hey, we need something. We need to rebrand. What are we going to do? We got Rugrats. Let's make it live act. Let's do both versions." Yeah, Bob. Great idea.
Well, okay. So let me also tell you something that might keep your interest.
But
in
But I'll
the
watch
movie.
The cartoon. I'm not going to lie.
Are you really?
Mm-hmm.
Did you like the Rugrats?
I did like the Rugrats. I thought they were cute.
Oh, wow. You do have a soul. You probably related most to Angelica.
I don't remember their
names.
She
was, she was the bully, Aaron.
She was the mean bully.
I take offense to that.
Scott agreed real fast, though. Well, the original three creators from the TV show are also attached as executive producers and hopefully have a very creative spot with it for the movie.
Yeah, their creative spot is for the checks cash.
Well, I mean, we can hopefully when we see a little bit more about it, then we'll know if it's something that we...
I'm super excited for the cartoon. I would watch the cartoon
definitely.
Again. I just think the live action, the movie idea sounds odd. It could be cool and it could be a raging forest fire of bad ideas.
But people liked Cinderella, and that's a person that was brought to life.
Huh? Wall?
Cinderella, the live action?
Yeah.
Yeah, but everybody was live action in that.
Yeah, so you don't have the – it's the mix of the animation.
You don't like the mix of it?
I like Roger Rabbit and that sort of thing, but if you don't have the animation style, I think what Scott's trying to say is the animation style is very important to those characters.
Okay.
Right.
And
you try to make it – if you try to make it like computer graphics – like, man, I cannot even think of an example right now where they're trying to make them look like real babies.
Well, Smurfs is a good one. I mean, Smurfs, they made them all CGI, and that just looked weird to me. It creeped me out. Those are the creepiest Smurfs ever.
Right, but at least Smurfs aren't real.
Says you.
Oh, man.
My box of Smurfs under my bed says different.
Why do you have Smurfs under your bed?
That's a good question.
Why don't you should be the question you're asking.
I don't know how to respond
this
to that.
This conversation got so weird.
Is it a euphemism for something?
Could yeah. be.
What is that?
Could be.
All right. Well, at least.
A small box of little blue people.
It's the Blue Man Group. That's where they went.
It's the prequel to Avatar.
I threw water on them and they grew just like those little things when you were a kid and you bought it at the store.
The little capsules.
Yeah. What were those things called? Oh, what were they called? Aquaman would know. They were. He put them in water and they got big.
Aquaman would know.
People listening know what I'm talking about. He would. He's a real guy.
He's a real guy.
His name's Jason Momoa Aquaman.
All right. Well, we'll move on to stuff that I'm sure both of you won't care about, which is CW and
I care about
other
some of
shows.
It. I care about some of it.
Okay. The first one is Legacies. It's a spinoff of CW's The Originals, which is a spinoff of The Vampire Diaries. It'll be set in Mystic Falls, which is where the original stories came from, following Hope, and she is the daughter of Klaus and Haley. If you follow the show, then you know who they are. But basically, she's going to be a mixed breed of vampire and werewolf. What? So cool. Anyway, so in the trailer, we actually get a glimpse at some werewolf transitions and the Salvatore boarding school. The show is basically X-Men meets Buffy with a CW setting. So if that intrigues you, if you can get past the CW or if you like the CW, I think the premise of the show will be interesting. And I've liked what I've seen of the other shows. Of course, it is teen adult and like.
So half the show every week is going to be looking into someone's eyes going,
yep.
I wish I could make it work with him, but my secret haunts me.
That was going to be my point. Whenever you say CW, I just kind of immediately go, I would really like that show 20 years ago when I was, in middle school. You know what I mean? Like, even if the stories are good enough, there's always that stuff in between that I just have no interest in anymore.
I mean,
you know, here's what I will say about these shows, okay, man? I get you're a fan, and there's a lot of people listening that are fans. I make fun of them all the time, But if I sit down in one sun, I don't get up until it's over.
Yeah.
So I get why people watch them. I 22 episodes of that.
You just actively avoid them so you don't get
sucked. So I don't get hooked on them. And then I can actively not lie when I say I don't watch them because I don't want to have to own up to it.
But he's going to purposely seek out watching 26 episodes of Rugrats.
Yes, he will.
Dude, I like that cartoon. I really did. I did. I like the idea of legacies. Then I watched the trailer and you can see it. Like I said, they're all on the website in that link, but it's like 5 minutes. You get a good feel for it. It felt more like the X-Men than it did anything like werewolf and vampire X-Men.
Well, I want to say
with lovey stuff that
there's always going to be lovey stuff in it. But the way that I'm hoping that they follow more the path of the originals, because the Vampire Diaries was very, it had a lot more of the immature moments than it did the mature aspect of the storyline. When you got into the originals, that was kind of like, okay, we understand that we have a base of adults here. We should probably give them something that's for adults a little bit. Mm. I'm hoping that because it's coming from the originals, it's a spinoff of that show. Her parents, the girl's parents that it follows, were in the originals. They were primary actors of that. So I'm hoping that brings them into an adult scene. So it's not pulling all, like Nina Dobrev isn't coming back to do this show or anything
like that.
That's really
too bad because I would watch it for Nina Dobrev.
But I mean, it'll be interesting, but they are making it something separate. And the creator has worked really hard to create these storylines. I will say I was very hesitant when I first heard about this because I'm like, we don't need this again. And again and again, but here we are. And it
the CW apparently this season is all about again and again and again.
Yeah. Because
they got like Charmed and they've got Roswell's coming back and they've got just everything is a rehash of something else.
Yeah. Scott, are you going to watch this at all?
No. What do you think?
I just was checking, being polite. All right. Well, speaking of the Charmed reboot. So they are making a reboot of Charmed. It's very sad, but the original was, I'm going to read you a quote from the executive producer, Jenny Snyder Ehrman. The original was so much about female empowerment and sisterhood and strong women taking over the world, and I feel like that's what we need right now. It felt like a good time to get back to that and show women kicking ass. The show is basically going to be the exact same thing with more diverse main characters, and they're going to be very, I don't want to say they're going to be controversial, but based off of the people who have seen some of this, because they showed the first episode, there was laughter and all of that. You know, it sounded good, but I can see that this is going to spark a lot of the climate we're in. It's going to spark a lot of, division between people.
Is Alyssa Milano in this?
She's not.
Bye. Pass.
Yeah.
I did like the original Charmed. It's one of those shows where I don't see, I mean, when they reboot something, they're rebooting it for the next generation. I feel like there hasn't been enough time for a next generation for
that
show.
I agree. Yeah. Especially when the creators of the show, the main cast, are like, no. You don't get to take our vision that we made
every week. The creators or the cast?
Both. Oh. A lot of the cast were part of the creators.
Oh, okay.
So, Holly Marie Combs, she was one of the main Charmed ones. She was in the entire series. She was one of the creators. Like,
sure?
she was
probably an executive producer. Yeah,
something.
They usually get that as the show goes. They're like, here, I'll pay you.
Yeah. She ended up doing a lot for the creative aspect of the show, though, and helping write the, doing that stuff and creating the vision for it. So they were upset because they're like, you don't get to just steal our vision and call it the exact same thing and say that you're honoring what we want when we're not even a part of that. Like, that's not really how it works. So it'll be interesting.
CW is like, wrong. That's exactly how that works.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how it lays out and if it's just the exact same stuff going over and over again. And just, I kind of feel like they're just using this as a way to kind of spark controversy in terms of women.
Oh, because we need that. We're running low.
Well, the problem for me is that Charmed, the original, did it in a very subtle way, where this one feels like they're trying to force it down your throat. And I don't know that I'm down with that, but I mean, more power to them.
Hey, don't watch it. Scott, are you going to watch Charmed? I know you're excited.
No, I didn't watch the original, and I have nothing against the original. It was just a show that I missed. I think when that originally aired, when did that come out originally? Do you remember? Was that 90s?
Late 90s, later, early 2000s.
Early 2000s.
I think it was early 2000s.
So I might have been just at that age where that, you know, I would have been in my late teens, early 20s when I came out, and that probably wasn't in my demographic at the time. So I don't know. I don't have a whole lot of interest. I would, if I were going to watch, I'd go back and watch the original and see what that's all about before jumping into a reboot.
For sure. You're probably too busy watching Friends.
I haven't watched Friends in like 2 or 3 years. Okay?
I know. I meant when, at that time. The time.
Oh, at the time.
You were.
Settle down, Taco Bell.
Spicy.
Yeah. Endorsement by TB. So the next one is Riverdale. We're getting a lot of information that goes back to the first season, which I'm excited about. A question that was never really touched on, it was only faintly talked about, which is the farm that Polly and Jason were going to run away to
before he died. Yeah, I remember that.
It's also really creepy. So there may be baby sacrifices on this farm because there's a weird cult that we see in the trailer.
I like it.
I mean, seriously, Polly and Alice,
this is so far from Archie,
are holding their twins over a fire, like in a cult maybe sacrifice.
Maybe they're cold.
Yeah.
What is this show? I had a completely different idea of what Riverdale was in my mind.
Oh, dude, it's a really good show. I know
you talked about it when it first aired, and I just didn't get around to it. I'm going to have to go watch this show now.
It's really, really developed. Season two changed a lot. So if you liked the first one, I think once you get into the second one and you start to kind of watch the storyline and the characters take off, you're going to be hooked on that second season that you're not going to want to stop watching it.
But this is like Archie characters, right?
I mean, sort of. I know I didn't read the comics or anything, but from everything that I've heard of people who have, it sort of touches on that. And it's supposed to get, as the series progresses, I think they're supposed to get closer to what the comics were like. But I don't know
how the hell that's possible. It's a really light comic.
I don't know, because this is very dark.
I know, that's why I like it.
Yeah, it's really good. So we also learn from season two, we're going to find out more of what's happening to Archie following his trouble with the law. So I won't go too much into that, but if you have seen the second season, when you watch the trailer, you'll understand. Beware, though, that for the season three trailer, it shows you a recap of season two. So if you're just wanting to see maybe like a touch, you're going to get the entire thing.
All right. Good to know.
So, and a musical episode.
Of course.
Yeah.
Why not? Because that was needed.
Yeah.
Ever since Joss Whedon.
I was going to say it was needed in Buffy.
Yeah, but
well, he did it perfect.
So after that, people just need to, well, Psych did it really well too. All right, there's a chance it could work, but I doubt
it. Throw some Psych does it. It's fine. Anybody can try it.
Yeah, yeah, that's science, man.
You said man.
I did, man. All right, you got one. You got what? Two more.
I got a couple more. Yeah, just to give you some dates though, for Legacies, it's coming out October 25th. Riverdale season 3 is October 10th. So we're also going to get a female woman to play the Doctor on Doctor Who, and that's Jodie Whittaker. She will be the 13th Doctor in the Doctor Who series, and she had an interesting take on it. So I kind of wanted to just tell you guys something she said, which actually got me more interested in it than the trailer did. I've never approached a role from thinking, how would a woman do this? I just did it from my perspective. But the wonderful thing about playing the Doctor is I'm playing an alien, so all those rules are kind of irrelevant to the approach. But what you do notice, sometimes within episodes, other people's responses are different because they're speaking to a woman. And that's interesting. And that's why this role will continue to be layered and fascinating to play. So it sounds like which I think is a good idea. She's approaching it as like, this is just part of the role. This is just who it is. It's not, I don't need to force it as I'm a woman playing the Doctor, so now things are going to be different. She's just like, I'm already an alien, so gender doesn't really matter right now anyway.
That's interesting.
Yeah. She seems like she's pretty invested in it.
I don't watch Doctor Who at all, but I know a lot of people love the Who, and I'm just
tried.
Like, yeah, right?
I love the Who too.
Same here. Yeah.
Who are you?
Are we just going to sing on every episode?
I think that's better than Doctor Who. Yeah.
If it works for Psych, it works for us, right? Remember the next time you go to a theater, buy popcorn.
Buy popcorn.
So when I watched this trailer, because I don't watch Doctor Who either. The only reason I ever had interest was David Tennant, but obviously he's not in it. So I liked the idea of everything, reading about it, but when I watched the trailer, I don't know if the show's just not for me.
I think if you're not a Who fan, you're not going to like it.
She's not for me, for sure.
Oh, really? You don't like her at all?
I think they could have cast much differently, much
better. Based on the trailer?
Yeah. Mm. I don't know anything else she's been in, so I'm only basing this off of the one trailer that I've seen, but I really just, it didn't engage me at all. I was like, this is a trailer. This isn't an ad. Okay. Good to know.
So you're not welcome exactly
to me. Welcome to me every time I try to watch Doctor Who.
True.
Yeah.
No argument.
So neither of you are going to be catching this.
No, if I were to watch Doctor Who, I'd start over. I'd give it another run. I might give it one more shot. I've tried before and failed. So plus, what is it, like 12 seasons now or something?
Yeah, it's the 13th Doctor.
That's overwhelming to start a thing. That's why I never watched 24, as much as you like praise that show, Aaron. That's why I've never given that show a shot, just because I can't barrel through that many seasons.
Okay, guy who's watched How I Met Your Mother like 8 times completely.
But I know I like that, and I watched it as it happened, so there's a nostalgia thing.
I will say, and I have no idea how this math makes sense, even though there's 13 Doctors, it's the 11th season, so they lost a couple?
Yeah, there's...
Somebody played it twice, yeah.
There's some BBC thing. Okay. There's some BBC logic in there. We don't know. We're American.
Their math adds up differently than ours. It's
metric.
It's the metric system, yeah.
All right, well, beyond that, we have my final one of the panel, which is Godzilla Monsters. Oh, yeah. Whoa, do you two need a minute or to change your pants?
It's missing is Aquaman.
My man.
Woo!
All right, so this one is coming out May 31st, 2019, so not too far away. And it has Millie Bobby Brown. Yay! So its synopsis is that the sequel traces the heroic efforts of the cryptozoological agency Monarch as its members face off against a battery of god-sized monsters, including the mighty Godzilla, who collides with Mothra, Rodan, and his ultimate nemesis, the three-headed king. I have no idea how to say this. Ghidorah? Who knows? Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That sounds amazing and like everything I need in my life. Minus Millie Bobby Brown, because I see her on Stranger Things all the time.
When these ancient super spheres, though, thought to be mere myths, rise again, they all vie for supremacy, leaving humanity's very existence hanging in the balance. Oh my gosh, it's apocalyptic.
This looks awesome, guys. I feel like this whole movie is that last like 20 to 25 minutes of the last Godzilla movie that was awesome, but they stretched it out for a whole movie. It's like what the last one was supposed to be. And you mentioned all those monsters, and I didn't watch the originals like you did, Aaron. I know you said you're like a fan of the old school Japanese ones or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know those monsters, but the moment that three-headed Ghidorah popped up and like the lightning flashed behind it and you saw that there were three heads, I was like, oh, senor, it's on. It looks so good. That giant Mothra, that just its massive wings spread over across the water. That is a summer movie right there. I'm not even like a big Godzilla guy, and I have to see that movie.
It is totally a movie that you want to watch in the theater with popcorn and a group of friends. It does look really awesome. I don't care what the story is about at all. I just kind of want to see Godzilla running around in this three-headed beast.
I love the trailer, man. The way that they use music in that trailer I thought was phenomenal. And by the end, because I'm sitting there the whole time I'm watching it going, well, I sure hope we get to see Godzilla more than we did in the last movie. That would be cool.
I can't hear that song without thinking of Ocean's 11, though.
That's so weird. But
what's going on in my mind watching that trailer? It worked great in the trailer, but all I'm thinking is those 11 guys standing around a fountain thinking about all the money they just earned.
Anyway, that's a good point. Now, if Godzilla could be a heister and he could go in and he's like robbing New York or something.
Don't give the Fast and the Furious guys any ideas, man. You let them get a hold of this franchise.
It's over, yeah.
You can say that like it would be a bad thing. I would watch the hell out of that.
I think everyone would.
Yeah, you just see Godzilla, he's just...
The Rock fights him.
I could see it. He just shows up and he's like 100 feet smaller than him. He's like, come on! And then somehow kicks his ass.
Yep.
Because that's how it happens.
That would be what happens.
I'm so psyched.
Spoiler alert, we just ruined it all for you guys.
You guys got to watch that trailer. You know, and it feels like, well, I know it's a, if you saw Kong Skull Island, because these are all connected, this is like the same universe. So this is kind of like that company from Kong Skull Island many years later, if you watch the Stinger to Kong. And this is them many years later. So I think the next movie is going to be King Kong versus Godzilla. So
ooh, fun.
Get pumped. There's going to be some action going down.
Yeah.
I'm stoked.
Well, I think all of us are on board to watch it. You two are way more excited than I am, though.
This is one I didn't know I wanted until I saw this trailer. I just sat there with my mouth open watching it on my computer screen. I wasn't even watching it on TV or in a theater. And I was like, I need to see this like right now.
Yeah. And Millie Bobby Brown, huh? That she's making money.
Already. She sure is.
She's doing all right.
I have to give her a lot of props. Not only is she a good actress, but she seems super, super sweet in everything she does. But in this trailer, she kind of struck me with a different chord because she just had those Stranger Things vibes a little bit.
You mean when she was looking longingly into the distance every 5 minutes?
But she did the whole trailer.
Yeah.
I know, but she just seemed more serious.
She looked like 11 the whole trailer.
She really did.
But when you see her as like just a regular individual walking like down the street or like on screen or in an interview or something, she's very bubbly and
she's
just not that.
Yeah.
I know, but not all kids are that way. A lot of them are mean and aggressive.
Wow.
That's probably Aaron's childhood.
Wow.
You know, the only problem I had with the trailer was Vera Farmiga, however you say her name.
Farmiga? Yeah, what about her?
Like, she just was boring. Like, when she's delivering this message about what's happening, I just didn't buy it. I just felt like she was reading a script instead of delivering it. Overly critical.
Technically, she was.
To be fair.
reading a cue card.
Here's what she could have done. She could have actually pulled out the cue cards and I wouldn't have cared. I'm like, just show me Godzilla and shut up.
Yeah.
Let's get to Monster Mash. Come on.
Oh, I love that
Monster
song.
Mash.
That's all people go to those movies for. And the last Godzilla made that mistake of, you know, trying to toy with people and only showing the fights on TV until the last 20 minutes. I mean, I still like that movie, but they screwed that pooch on that.
Screwed the pooch on that.
Yeah, I'm bringing it back. All right, remember, you can always find more information at thehollywoodoutsider.com. Join our Facebook group, which is also The Hollywood Outsider, or on Twitter at BuyPopcorn. That's Amanda's panel. Thanks, Amanda.
You're welcome.
Nice job.
Thanks.
Scott, I hope you got some details for your panel. It's your turn.
I got lots of, probably not as many details as Amanda, but I've got some details. Really quickly, because I know this isn't a video game podcast, but they did mention the Mega Man television series, which is going to be on Cartoon Network for 26 episodes. It comes out August 5th, which is very quick. I don't know that I'm going to watch it, but it's something that I wish I had when I was about 12 years old. Because it looks like something that kid wants to see totally.
Yeah.
So
yeah, 12, not like last week's Scott Clark.
No. This is very much geared towards kids. Like it's got kid humor and it's silly. And they've taken some artistic liberties with the character of Mega Man that I'm not certain that I'm okay with.
What is there to take liberty with? It's a guy who runs around and just shoots a cannon. That's it.
No, it's not, actually. Mega Man was a robot created by Dr. Light. And one, he is a boy named Aki Light, who's an actual descendant of Dr. Light. And he transforms into Mega Man. That was never part of the lore.
That's kind of interesting.
He's like Shazam.
Sure.
Shaman.
So anyway,
he's Shaman.
That's all.
I made a thing.
That's not a thing.
It's a thing. Shaman.
It's as much of a thing as touches and Mean Girls.
Shaman. Anyway, that's all I'll talk about that. But let me ask you guys a question. Are you fans of DC?
Yes.
Yes?
Yeah.
Oh, Amanda, not so much?
No, I am, but like they're trying to do a lot of nonsense that I can't say I'm on board with.
Okay. Well, how would you call this nonsense? How about a streaming service that is exclusively DC content? And I'm not just talking movies, but I'm talking TV shows and comics. So the like not paper comics, but digital comics that you can even read on your television screen for a monthly fee of $7.99. Does that sound interesting to you at all?
I would pay for the comic, but I would also pay for them to not give me the TV series.
Wow.
Okay, then.
They just – it's stupid. But anyway. But yes, I would pay for the comics.
How much is it? $7.99. Can you double it?
I will pay you twice as much. Just don't give me that.
Instead of not watching it, I'll actually pay you to not distribute it to me.
That's
to which
hilarious.
DC's like, All right, I guess we can come up with a new tier. Sure.
Well, on the bright side, you can also pay for it for a full year at $74.99 for 12 months. So you can save a little money there. And also, if you pre-order it, they give you the first 3 months for free. So there's that.
Is it like all the TV shows, like the CW shows and all that jive too? I assume. Everything DC, right?
Everything DC, I believe TVs and movies, but they said that it's not going to include every comic because I think that would be insane because they're still making them, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I'd pay it because I just don't think I would pay it. But I mean, if you're a huge DC fan, I don't see why that's a problem. It seems like a somewhat reasonable deal.
It does. It just also comes down to the fact that I don't want to have piecemeal streaming services. You know what I mean? I don't want to have to pay for my DC one. I want to pay for the inevitable Marvel one and the Disney one.
Disney's already working on it. It's happening. It's coming.
Yeah, I know. And that's what scares me because, you know, I've gotten to the point where I don't need cable anymore. And that's great because I could just live off of Netflix and maybe Hulu and, you know, an HBO Go account or something. But I mean, there's so many. I'm going to wind up paying just as much for cable as I did before, but paying for all these streaming services. But the thing that interests me most about this is actually the comics, because I have a reputation on this show for never having read the comics. So this would actually entice me to do this more than that, because I don't want to own physical comics. I don't want to have to track them down to catch the next issue. I don't want to have to pay for them, because I mean, they're like, some of them are like over $2.50, $3 a piece or something, but I'm interested in reading the stories. That might get me on board to do that. I could get caught up on some of these series and see their roots and see what everybody's talking about. As far as I'm concerned, Marvel, where's yours? Because I'm actually more interested in reading the Marvel comics than the DC comics. And just to be able to see where they've come from with, you know, coming from the comics to the movies or even the television shows and stuff. So that is more intriguing to me than actually having the movies and the TV shows, because I want to see what I've been missing all these years.
First of all, I would like to say that you already took away the fun joke of making fun of you for choosing a comic book panel piece and being the dude who never always says he never reads the comics. Dang
well,
it.
Well, yeah. I mean, Comic-Con is barely just comics anymore.
Yeah, it's, no it's, kidding.
It's basically nerd culture at this point, which is awesome. It's expanded quite a bit. So,
But yeah. I would totally, I mean, just for the comics part, because it is, sometimes those comics are like $15-25. No right. joke. What? That's a lot of money, man. Anyway.
Well, it's a lot of work.
It is. So if they can give it to me for $8, but I'm curious what they're going to exclude, or if you have to pay extra to get certain, you know, editions or whatever, however it works. That's something that I would be curious to learn more about.
I'm not going to pay for it, but I really hope people that if they want that, I hope they get what they want. And I think it's cool that they are often in the comics, because maybe more comics will be discovered that way.
Yeah.
You know?
Definitely.
I agree. The idea of watching or reading comics on your TV screen at first was like, I don't want to do that. But the way that they were talking about it, saying, well, this is supposed to be like a social experience. You know, like people get, when you're a kid, I've heard, you know, you gather around a comic book and read it together with your buddy. Now you can do it in 4K HD glory. And I don't know, that actually sounds kind of cool if I were into it. So
did you watch the first trailer for their new show for that service?
Titans, you're talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
F Batman. Yeah. Oh, you're so gritty and edgy. You are. Stop it. No, really. Stop it.
You can be gritty without being overly vulgar. You know what I mean? They're just trying too hard.
Please watch that trailer and Dick Grayson. It looks like Arrow, the bad seasons. It's not.
That's not a compliment.
It is not a compliment. The costumes look bad. Special effects look bad. The kid trying to be super tough as Robin just looks ridiculous. And I'm just sitting there going, man, I know kids at like 12 that are more badass than you. So it's just not flying for me.
Neither is he. Just saying.
Yeah, true story.
So anyway, the next big story that dropped that I was interested in, which is funny because I'm actually not caught up on the show, is the Clone Wars is coming back. If you guys remember this animated series, it started back in 2005. They did 5 seasons and they ended it with a cliffhanger. Like ended it. They in their mind, it was done. Mm-hmm. They just had this awful cliffhanger. But Disney surprised everyone and announced that a final season is on its way, and they had a whole brand new trailer, which the trailer is awesome, by the way. I just love how they started it with this whole, like, the Stormtrooper helmets, or actually it's the clone helmets, and you can see them progressively changing as they zoom through this, like, line of them. It's really cool. But unfortunately, as you alluded to a second ago, Aaron, Disney streaming service is the only place you're going to be able to watch this.
Oh, I didn't know that. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
That's bogus.
Yeah.
Oh, I did not know that. We all saw this coming. I mean, I watched the trailer and I got excited for it. Now I'm kind of pissed.
Yeah, they're not advertising that. Oh, it's coming back. This is awesome. Everybody's been wanting this. You got to have the streaming service for it. So,
how much is their streaming service?
Smooth move, Disney.
I don't think they've said yet, have they?
More than you need to pay. That's how much.
Probably.
It's Disney. You know it's going to be at least $15, at least, if not 20.
If DC is $7.99, there's going to be $8.50. Just on principle. It's going to be more.
So you guys know the Star Wars movies have been a big part of my life since I was a kid. And even though people have recommended this show to me, I didn't make it very far. The first few episodes just felt like a kid's show, which it is to some degree, but it's Star Wars. So I don't know. Something felt off in the tone for me. But from the people that keep talking it up, saying that it has some legit stories and fill in some gaps that I'm interested in. Now that I know they're doing a full final season, this might be one I go back to and get caught up, because there's only, you know, 5 seasons. And Star Wars. Who doesn't like Star Wars? So
watch Terrorist. Disney try to, like, make you subscribe for 6 months so you can get it, too. So you have to pay, 6 months worth of Disney subscription.
You
got
to pay 6 months ahead of time to watch the show?
Yep.
That would be bold.
That would be Disney.
Yeah, but people would do it. That's the thing.
You might.
No, I wouldn't. I definitely would not.
I would skip it altogether, no matter what. So,
nah. Right. That's just ridiculous. All right. So the last one I want to talk about, I believe it's the last one. Yeah. No, I got a couple more.
You got two. It's your panel. So, why am I telling you?
I needed to scroll down further. I apologize. Glass. Oh, yeah! This might be my favorite thing I saw from San Diego Comic-Con this week. And just a spoiler alert, if you have not seen the movie Split or the after credits scene in that, this trailer is going to ruin that for you. This conversation will ruin it for you. So if you haven't seen Split, you might want to fast forward for a second, because there's no way to avoid talking about this.
Right.
But go watch Split, because it's really great. So anyway, all three characters, which weren't all together in the same movie before, but David, Kevin, and Elijah, they're being studied by some kind of psychiatrist who apparently this job exists, who studies people who think they're superheroes, or in this case, villains. And all three somehow get out. And it looks like Kevin and Elijah are teaming up for nefarious reasons, and David's got to stop them. So, guys, I haven't seen a trailer in a long time where I felt like I needed to see that right now. But that's exactly what happened with this one. Are you guys with me on that?
I was ready for this when I saw Split, because I knew it was going to be happening. But seeing it, I was really, really excited, because I'll be honest, I kind of forgot about it after I saw the movie, wrote the review, kind of was like, oh, have so many other movies to watch. But seeing this trailer got me excited, for one, and interested to see how it'll all come together. But I think it looks spectacular. I think even if you haven't indulged in the movies that come before it, that if you just watch the trailer for this one, it'll give you incentive to watch, you know, Split and everything, and kind of get caught up on everything that's going on with this universe.
I really dug that they are bringing back the characters from Unbreakable, not just Bruce Willis and Sam Jackson, but also Sam Jackson's mom, I think, is coming back, and somebody from David Dunn's life. And then you've got hot in a weirdest way possible, Anya Taylor-Joy is coming back from Split.
She is so strangely attractive.
Isn't she? Every time you look at her, I'm like, I don't know why. I mean, I don't think you're cute, but I'm strangely attracted to you. Mm. And I get really, I feel uncomfortable, but let's talk about it a little bit more. Let's see if we can weird some people out.
You weirded me out, so mission accomplished.
She's legal, I think. So it's, she is. I checked.
Barely.
I checked. So the movie looks fantastic. James McAvoy, I don't care what he's doing. I always make a point to see whatever James McAvoy does.
I'm with you.
The only thing that worries me, and it's, believe it or not, not M. Night anymore. He's won me back.
Is it Bruce Willis?
It's Bruce Willis, who, formerly one of my favorite actors of the world, is now Mr. Catatonic. He's in a coma. No one's woke him up. And even when he does interviews, He's just Bruce Willis doing this. And, you know.
Well, Aaron, he did everything he could.
Yeah, obviously. He exerted himself. He really did. I saw Death Wish. Yeah.
That was what I was referencing.
Yeah, I know. I know. That still pisses me off. Hey, I did everything I could. You could have done something, one thing to try to save that guy, but you didn't do anything.
Here's my thing with M. Night is I've always been a big fan of his. I'm always kind of an apologist because I really like most of his movies, except mm-hmm. for The Happening and Lady in the Water, those two movies.
Yes. I'm so glad you said it.
Admittedly, I didn't see the Last Airbender, but I am one of the weirdos that liked The Village and I liked mm-hmm. Devil. I really like what's in this guy's head and what he puts together. I feel like he was vindicated when Split was released. And Glass just looks to compound on the quality of that last film. And I have this like dream of him kind of like starting his own comic book franchise, not to the level of a DC or a Marvel, but where it's grounded in this reality. And then there's fantastical things. You know what I mean? Don't get me wrong. I love Iron Man and I love Captain America and all that, but those feel like superheroes to me, you know, like just flashy superheroes. The idea of these just being regular people, every other just normal regular dudes, and these things happen to them that are fantastical. I want to see where this goes. I hope it keeps going.
I'm really in love with the concept. Like I said, Bruce Willis is really my only concern. I'm in love with the concept because I've never seen that done before, where mm-hmm. you're really looking at this. I mean, I guess Legion touches on it to a degree, but it does it in a really weird psychedelic way that nobody watches, and except for like four people that are cool like me. But if you watch that, if you watch the trailer, and I hope everybody does, it seems like he's really jumping into the psyche of supervillains, superhero, what makes you, maybe you're on the wrong side, maybe you don't really know who the villain is, who the hero is, you know, and I think that could be really cool. And Sarah Paulson plays the psychiatrist, and she's great. So I'm looking forward to it.
I am as well, really looking forward to it. It makes me wonder what other movies in his repertoire are somehow connected that we're going to find out. Is Signs somehow going to slip in there?
Oh, man, it would be so cool if he was able to tie all of them together.
Oh, at the very end, Mel Gibson just runs in and hits him with a bat.
Throws water on him.
Yeah, Joaquin Phoenix throws a bucket of water at everybody. Well, actually, that's Dunn's weakness, right? Yeah.
Whose weakness?
That's Dunn's weakness in Unbreakable, right?
You're right.
Yeah.
Maybe they are all connected.
That could totally be like a connection. He's actually an alien.
Yeah, they're all connected.
That would be an awesome reveal, man. If like Joaquin Phoenix just showed up, maybe as the Joker, and then he just threw a bucket of water at him, that could be amazing.
By the way, how many Jokers are we up to now?
I think two, but the way DC's going, we might have more by the end of the week.
That's just ridiculous.
You could make a Joker movie. I think everybody can do it.
Why don't we all go do it?
It's trendy.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and go on to my last one. This one is my actual last one. This was one that I didn't even know about until I saw the trailer at Comic-Con. It's Night Flyers. And the reason that my ears were perked was because of one name, and that's George R.R. Martin. Mm. You guys know what a massive Game of Thrones fan I am. So I'm instantly intrigued whenever I hear he's attached to something. And what's funny is when I saw this and I thought, oh, they're doing this based on a writing by George R.R. Martin. I went, isn't he still writing the other – isn't he still finishing Game
of
Thrones?
Don't you have stuff to do?
Yeah, that was my immediate thought. But it turns out this is actually based on a book he wrote in 1980.
Oh.
So it takes place in like 75 years in the future. Eight scientists and a telepath are traveling to the edge of the solar system aboard a craft called the Night Flyer. That's pretty much all I gathered from this trailer, but it looks very obviously sci-fi mystery element, very tense. The guy at the panel said, the screenwriter said that the show is influenced by 2001: A Space Odyssey, The Shining, and Alien. You guys know how much I love Alien. So despite this being on sci-fi, that's a recipe that I can't help but get excited about. I haven't read the novella. Have you, Aaron? I know you like to read.
Yeah. Books, they're crazy. I haven't. I think the trailer looks interesting. I actually am the opposite of that description because I don't like 2001, nor do I like The Shining. I know, cinema fraud, I get it, but not a fan of either one of those movies. So that didn't really get me going, yay. But the trailer looks interesting. I mean, the only downside to this is it's on Syfy.
Yeah. Would you be okay with it if it were not so much the story and the long shooting of those two movies, and it were just the tone? Like, cause I feel like the tone of those movies would work well in a sci-fi show.
No, I think tone. Look, if they're referencing them, those are classic films. I'm obviously in the vast minority of people that don't like this movie, so I think there's a good chance this show is going to be amazing. I think Martin obviously can write good. I mean, he's good.
Well, nope.
That was the point. That was a joke. That was meant to be there. And you guys.
Sorry, Mr. Clark came out there for a second. Sorry.
I was going to say Justin. Justin was on my mind.
God, I just can't let it go. It looks good. I'm going to stop there. Looks great. I'll check it out. As long as it's not like The Shining or like 2001, I'll probably enjoy it.
How about you, Amanda?
Yeah, nothing in the separate movie description really sold me too much. But watching the trailer, until I did see the sci-fi part, I was like, ooh, this looks good. And then I saw that and I was like, ew, it's on sci-fi.
Isn't it sad? It's like a gut reaction.
It is. And I'm like, oh, how bad can this be? It's basically like the really, I don't know, it's like Lifetime for sci-fi movies at this point. So I get really nervous.
Why won't that alien leave that abusive other alien?
It's just like all the bad stuff that you kind of get sucked into that you don't want to be a part of, but somehow you just keep going there.
I love that Lifetime for science fiction. I like that description.
It's kind of accurate. I like how you say like, oh, this was intriguing. And then you see sci-fi pop up and you go, ugh. Yeah. Remember when, speaking of M. Night, remember when that movie Devil dropped? The trailer dropped at the beginning of a theater, and whenever you go see that, and everyone's like, oh, this movie looks really good, and then they say M. Night Shyamalan, and everyone on the theater just goes, aw.
Yeah. That's... And I don't even think he directed that one. I think he just produced it, and it's still from M. Night Shyamalan. I'm like, ah, crap, it's going to suck.
That was me until Split, because he ruined everything for me after Lady in the Water and The Village. I could not forgive him.
Like childhood and everything?
Just... He went back to my birth and ruined it from the very beginning.
It's very dramatic.
Lady in the Water is the worst movie ever created. Anyway, he did
redeem
himself.
The hatred for The Village, though. I understand the payoff wasn't nearly as satisfying as some of the other twists in his other movies, but it was still a good setup.
I think I was just bored. I actually fell asleep when I watched it.
Mm. I just didn't think it was a good movie. And the payoff
Lady
wasn't...
in the Water, I'll give you. But
oh, that was abysmal. I was just so was like, tragic. Were you just drunk? I mean, or high? Were you a Potterhead at the time? What was going on?
No, it would have been good if he was a Potterhead.
Oh, good stuff, Scott. Good stuff.
Hey, can I say one more thing about Night Flyers really quick?
Sure.
Just because one thing that I was in reading some of the information on this, it looks like it's going to be touching on a lot of like real world issues happening like today, like societal issues. Which is interesting because that's what Star Trek did, right? That's what that was that all about. So I kind of think it's cool that they're doing that. But obviously Star Trek started in the 60s. We're much further along and we've got a lot bigger issues than – well, not big necessarily bigger, but they're compounded quite a bit. So I like it when shows do that. And I think that even gets me more interested to see it. So
to a degree, I will be honest. I am at the point where I want less societal issues in my TV, and I just want some mind-blowing entertainment.
Yeah.
I think Handmaid's Tale has kind of sucked the societal issues out of
my pulpit. I love that show. I will eat that show up. No, that's weird phrasing for that show. But I do, because of all of these, it just feels like it drains you because you have everything in the real life and then you have to go to your source of entertainment.
I want to have happy fun.
So that's why I watch Brooklyn
You know what the
99.
Trick was with Handmaid's Tale was?
Not watching it?
Yeah, just watch the first episode and you're good.
No.
That's what I did.
Second season was so good.
Yeah, we're going to take your word for it. Okay, so my panel, my turn.
Oh.
Yeah. Wow.
I'm just kidding.
Mine has Aquaman on it.
It does.
Yeah.
My man.
Woohoo! Yum. All right, Walking Dead. Did you say yum?
I did. Yeah. You're saying it with me. Don't lie.
Kinda, yeah. I can't wait to talk about his little permission to come aboard. I think that's hysterical. All right, so first.
You know what my wife said when he said that?
What's that?
Oh, we'll get there.
Yeah. Hold tight. First up's Walking Dead. Okay, now I wasn't even going to. I didn't give a rat's ass about Walking Dead at all this year. I was done. But somebody's like, hey, you know Andrew Lincoln's leaving the show. And when when I say somebody, I meant the entire internet. So if that ruins something for you, you haven't been on the internet because it's been ruined. And actually, I guess that was leaked. He was really mad that it was leaked.
Yeah.
He looked very sad. He wanted to go out with a powerful moment, and it looks like he's not going to get one. But I'm sure it'll still
be. Going to be old age? Because
what's that?
Is it going to be old age? Because, man, he's getting a little gray beard going on.
Yeah, well, I think they're jumping ahead in time and whatnot. But he's leaving this season. Samantha Morton's going to join as Alpha, the leader of the Whisperers. If you know the comic, you'll know what that means.
That character sounds messed up, by the way.
Yeah, I don't want to say too much about it because I do want people to be surprised when they hear more about it. But it's look it up if you really want to know. The Whisperers is an interesting turn. My big thing was we do jump forward in time this season. There's going to be a rift between Daryl and Rick. Maggie and Rick also have a little bit of riff. Rick's group and Negan's group are going to be at each other because obviously they didn't get along the last couple of years, and Negan is still behind bars. What I found fascinating was I watched the trailer, and it's like a 5-minute trailer also on the site. I was really stoked. Like by the end of it, I'm like, God damn it. They got me again. I really want to know what happens now.
Right. So, me too.
Did you watch it? You enjoyed it?
I haven't watched the previous two seasons, but this trailer got me going, man, now do I got to go back and watch those? Because I gave up after Negan was introduced. And according to you, I can just watch the first episode and the last episode of that season, yep. Right?
100%. Yes. I don't care what any fan tells you. Those two episodes is all you really need to do and you get the gist of it.
Let me tell you from personal experience, as someone who really, really, really wanted to get in the first season of the show and just did not, I have then watched only the very pivotal moments of the show, and I can probably tell you everything that's really important that's happened, especially in that season that you've missed, the last two seasons. I've watched the beginning and I've watched the end, and that's pretty much it. And I have a summary of what's going on. I don't have every miscellaneous detail, but I have enough to be able to continue on the next season at the beginning of the episodes.
Yeah, it's pretty sad because I actually did that when it came on Netflix. Watched the first season, the first episode, Negan shows up, and then the last episode of the finale. And yeah, that kind of makes sense. It goes together.
Negan's the only reason I watched it. I love Jeffrey Dean Morgan. That's the only reason I'm like really interested.
Because you need somebody bobbing and weaving every time they talk.
That's fine. I'll take it. I love him.
Come on, Rick. Come on, Rick.
He's adorable.
Yeah, he's got his thing
adorable?
Going.
Yeah. Have you seen? Okay, him and Andrew Lincoln together are adorable.
Not on the show, though.
Well, that's
he
true.
Smashes
they are kind
in,
of adorable with each other, though. It's
no,
it's,
he beats adorable people with a baseball bat.
I know, but they're kind of
wrapped
they're
in barbed wire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Scott, if you haven't seen this little clip where Jeffrey Dean Morgan says goodbye to Andrew Lincoln, I'm gonna need you to do that because he references Love Actually.
Oh, really?
He does, and it's such
does
a
he do this little cards.
He does, and it's so sweet. And then they have like a bro moment at the end, and it's oh my gosh, it was touching. So you should watch that. To get the feelings.
Meanwhile, do you have like Norman Reedus in the background going like, bitch, you have not been here long enough to do that. That's my job.
He's not in there. He's probably somewhere not washing his hair being a boondock saint.
Getting his check. He got a big deal to stay.
Yeah, did he?
Yeah, he got like a $20 million deal is what they're talking about.
I think he's kind of the biggest sales point, honestly.
I was going to say, he could have gotten more. Because if Daryl weren't on that show, I swear that show would have died four seasons ago.
I mean, I don't get it, but you're right. Yeah, you're right. But anyway, if you're one of those people that abandon Walking Dead, watch this trailer. I really feel like they've got a new showrunner. I'm hopeful. The show looks like it's getting back to what the show was in the first few years, which is more of a character drama as opposed to whatever the hell was going on.
Story drama?
No, I mean, same difference, right? It's just more the last couple of years have just been All out war. And that's not why people watch Walking Dead. They didn't watch it for just a bunch of fighting. It's not an action show. And I think they made a mistake because when there's no action, it takes forever for anything to happen. So mm-hmm.
I think the whole appeal of that in the first season and maybe even the second season was what the hell happened? Mm-hmm. And there's just no end in sight for that. I think they've even said that it's never going to be answered. And I'm sorry. I like answers to my mysteries. I would like to see what started it.
Yep.
Do you think that the show will continue after he leaves?
Yeah, like, Daryl will still be there.
I mean,
yeah.
Substantially, do you think it'll...
You mean the audience?
Audience and for story-wise. Like, is this going to continue
They've got like 58 characters. I mean, they can make this story.
But that doesn't mean it's substantial, though. I feel like a lot of people are drawn to Lincoln.
I will be perfectly honest. As a fan or semi-fan, although I wasn't a fan the last season and a half, I guess, is dedicated. I don't think Rick is as pivotal to the show as he used to be, especially once you take away a certain somebody, which I won't say that moment because some people are still catching up. But
so you think it'll be fine on both ends?
If they could get rid of Judith, it'd be better.
You've been vying for that for how many years now?
Man, seriously, if I would join the writing staff just to write a scene where Judith gets zombie baited.
Yeah, you said you wanted like a baby grenade or something.
Yeah, baby frag.
Baby frag.
Baby frag.
Oh, no.
Hey, for the good of the people, the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the one. So if that's going to make them escape, hey.
I like your philosophy.
Hey, you got to save people. All right, my next one is The Passage. It's a new TV show. Fox premiered the first episode of the upcoming series, The Passage, for Comic-Con, and also had Mark Paul Gosselaar, is that how you say it? Yeah, guy from the Saved by the Bell, Mark
there
Paul
you go.
Gosselaar. And also the rest of the cast, Henry Ian Cusick, I don't know what that means for the 100, and showrunner Liz Heldens. It's about a secret government medical facility experimenting with a dangerous virus that could either cure all disease or cause the downfall of the human race. It focuses on a 10-year-old, Amy Belafonte, who is chosen to be a test subject for the experiment, and Brad Wagast, the federal agent who becomes her surrogate father and tries to protect her. And it's going to debut in early 2019. They don't have a firm date yet. And Matt Reeves is an executive producer. So this is one of those shows where I was like, ooh, I'm interested. Mm-hmm. It just sounds fascinating.
You know what? I think we just got our answer. This is how The Walking Dead started.
There you go. Just tie them together. This is where Andrew Lincoln is going.
He's going to go to this show.
Yep.
And he's going to make a prequel.
Yeah, he is.
And somehow he's older now. That's just, good luck tying that one out. Yeah, so that looks cool. My other one is Lego Movie 2. The Lego Movie sequel bows February 8th, 2019. And I will tell you, before I tell you what it's about and everything, I did not want to watch it.
Because, me
either. Yeah, I didn't like Lego Batman. I thought it was okay. But the last couple of Lego movies, I'm just like, all right, I'm done with this. This concept.
Ninjago.
This concept, right? Were you done with these as well?
Yeah, I was. I didn't go into this expecting much at all.
Well, the trailer was great. The film picks up in real time after the 2014 movie and finds the city of Bricksburg, which looks decidedly like a Mad Max wasteland now, is under attack by a new enemy, the Lego Duplo Invaders. Chris Pratt and Elizabeth Banks reprise their voice roles as Emmett and Wildstyle, and they've got some several returning cast members and also new additions like Tiffany Haddish, Brooklyn Nine-Nine Stephanie Beatriz.
Yeah.
New Lego characters were General Maybe, I don't know what the hell that was, Lego Harley Quinn in her Suicide Squad mode, and the best part, a Raptor Trainer Lego character, Rex Danger Vest, who's actually an obvious riff on Chris Pratt's character, Owen Grady, from the Jurassic World movies, which is voiced by Chris Pratt.
That's really funny.
Okay. So he's doing the main character and this other character.
Yes. Yes. He's playing. It's so meta. It's metatastic. Scott, you watched the trailer. What did you think then?
I thought this is the best use of intergalactic planetary by the Beastie Boys I've heard in a long time. It worked so perfectly in this trailer. They even timed it with what was going on in the trailer. Great. I like you said, this is the movie I never knew I wanted, and I immediately wanted to see it. It looks hilarious. And they do such a good job of being funny without being cheeky, without being like over the top silly. You know what I mean? Just like cheap gags or whatever. Some of this writing is genuinely funny, and it will be funny for us and kids. I really like it. The thing that worries me is because the last film stuck the landing so well with that ending. You know, I don't want to ruin it because that is one that you really just need to see what they do with that movie.
Yeah.
They really need to do something special at the end of this one too to really seal the deal for me. And I don't know how you top that especially with what a surprise that was.
Yeah, I didn't think Deadpool could do it, and they did, the ending-wise, so it could be done.
You just compared the Lego movie to Deadpool.
Yeah, and I would love to see Deadpool show up in the Lego movie.
Oh, man.
Unfortunately, you know, I don't think Fox and WB are going to get together
that'd be awesome,
and make
though.
Babies or anything, but Amanda, are you excited for Lego Movie 2?
So there's only been one Lego movie that I sort of enjoyed, and I don't even remember which one it was, to be perfectly honest, but I watched the trailer because I had to, and also because I saw that Tiffany Haddish and Stephanie from Brooklyn Nine-Nine mm-hmm. are in it. So I kind of wanted to see maybe what their roles would be in it. And I was actually surprised pleasantly by the trailer. Like, it looks like a genuinely fun movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of, to me, it looked a little bit darker than what I expected. I just kind of figured it would be a bunch of, like, Legos kind of jumping around or something. But it seems like it has a good basis for a story that you can enjoy as an adult and not be annoyed or, I don't know, dealing with memories that have haunted you of stepping on a Lego.
Did you see the first one, Amanda?
I did. I can't remember because I know I've seen the
Everything is awesome about it.
I think I saw this one, and I think this is
she
the one
get
that
it.
I
don't
like. Everything is awesome. Oh, it's okay. By Tegan Oof. And Sarah.
All right. All right. Wow. Never mind. I take it back. You do get it.
Yeah. I think this is the one that I liked, and I think the Batman one was the one that I was really not super excited.
It was too kiddie for me.
Yeah.
I tried so hard to be cool and just like, I'm parents.
Martha. I can't do it.
Martha. First try.
Yeah, right. So yeah, I mean, it seems interesting. I'm excited for it. I would not have watched the trailer though, had it not been for this being on your panel.
Yeah, I didn't want to watch it. If it wouldn't have been part of, I'm like, well, I mean, I got to watch it. And I fully expected to not want to watch it again because I haven't liked any of the other Lego movies. I mean, it's really like I love the first one. I just thought, okay, for the rest of them. Loved this one. Love yeah. it. So I'm in. They'll get me back in the theater for it. There you go. Next one. Oh, boy. This one scares the piss out of me. Alita Battle Angel. Okay, it's based on the manga series by Yukito Kishiro. The effects.
Manga.
What did I say? Manga?
Manga.
Manga.
The manga series. The effects-heavy movie tells the story of Alita, a wide-eyed amnesiac cyborg on the run in a dystopian future city. Of course it does. Produced and written by James Cameron, it's also directed by Robert Rodriguez. So you watch the trailer, and it's interesting. I actually think there's moments of really cool stuff happening. And then there's moments where it looks like it's a cutscene from a video game. So, Scott, I'm going to leave this to you. What did you think of this trailer? And I do want to preface this. Robert Rodriguez hasn't made a really good movie in a really long time.
I can't get past the eyes, man. I swear. I just want to know how long it takes to get into the movie before you're not thinking about just that. Because that's all I'm thinking about this entire trailer is how big. And I understand that's how animes look. But this is a real movie. I can't do it. I can't.
Doesn't it?
I can't take it seriously.
It makes it very hard to focus on everything that's yeah. happening when it's very distracting.
That's what I mean. I can't focus on anything but her eyes. And I want to know, like, if you get like a half hour into it, did you just get over it? Because I sure didn't get over it in a 3 or 4 minute trailer.
Probably not.
Yeah. Did you get over Scorpion King? Because that's what I'm getting vibes of.
Well, Scorpion King, you saw for what? A minute and a half battle or something like that. This yeah. is the whole movie.
And I felt like that's how much we got of her in this trailer. And I felt that I got the same in my gut feeling that I got with Scorpion King. Like, oh no, this is happening. That's what I
Is that the Office
like.
Space guy you were just doing right there?
No, that was
That also
the air,
might
that was
be
Aaron.
IBS.
Oh.
It could be. I ate a lot of popcorn. Yeah. No, I just, I'm with you, man. It just looks like video game cutscenes way too much. It didn't look like a movie to me. Amanda, what did you think?
No.
No internal debate at all?
No.
Oh, okay.
You know it's not good if I don't have much to say.
I was actually talking to some people in the internet, and I said, I'm not really loving this. You know, I want this to be really good because James Cameron wrote it. So I think the script will be pretty good, actually. And he produced it. So I want to have faith. And Rodriguez, I used to love, and just lately I just can't love anymore. I can't deny what I've seen. I can't just pretend it didn't happen. And I see this trailer and I get concerned. And they're like, hey, you know, you just got to roll with it. I'm like, how do you roll with it if it looks like this? I mean, those eyes will stop you in mid-roll. I mean, it's like a flat spot on a tire. Just, you can't move anymore.
the relationship you just described with you and Rodriguez sounds like a traumatic breakup where you were cheated on and betrayed.
Crushed me.
And everyone's like, just give it another chance. He's tried to prove himself. And you're like, no, but I can't. You hurt me too deeply.
I will tell – okay, this is going to sound stupid, but – so the first time I went to South by Southwest, right, I saw Robert Rodriguez, and I actually, like, geeked out in my brain. I'm just like, oh, it's Robert Rodriguez, and I sat right across from him, and I just felt like, hee-hee, I was hopping on my chair. 3 years later, I went to South by, saw him again, had no reaction whatsoever.
Oh, that's sad.
Just like, I blame you. You know, it's just like, you've let me down a few too many times, Robert. Stop it. Stop it.
Stop it.
I love you, man, and I know you can do it. It just isn't getting done. Maybe Antonio Banderas needs to show up and fix this.
And that'll get him encouraged.
I think it could. Yeah. So we'll see. I hope you guys listen and feel a little different about that one. All right. My last part. It's so exciting. DC Films. DC Films. For my last pick, there were a few options. Bumblebee actually looked really fun. Venom is starting to gel with some really wickedly creative choices, but nothing had me screaming, my man, like DC's panel with the premiere of the Shazam and the Aquaman trailers. So here's the trick. Okay, you don't hear Marvel being talked about. That's because Marvel took the year off. So some, of course, fanboys will be like, well, that's why DC did so well. Nah, I don't even really care. This panel was off the chain, off the hook. What do the kids say? I don't know.
I think both combinations.
All right. It's lit.
Oh, yeah, they do say lit now.
Isn't that going out now?
I don't know.
Let's start something.
It's on fleek.
No, I think on fleek was before lit.
It's like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
I got yelled at last summer for not knowing what on fleek meant.
How about flit? It's flit. This is so
there you
flit.
Go. Just combine
that
them.
Is
yeah, true. Let's just put them together. We'll make the next one.
Yeah, let's add two bad things and add them together.
Anyway, DC like slapped evil in the face with the smorgasbord of heroics. I thought this was the best panel of the entire show, even though I'm not convinced that they know what direction they actually want to go yet because they're still making two Joker movies. One of which is an origin movie about a guy that doesn't have an origin story.
That we don't need.
Whatevs. But these movies all seem to finally understand what the entire audience wants instead of just pieces of it. Like, it feels like they're diversifying and they're doing it right. First up, Wonder Woman, 1984. There wasn't much to it because they could only show like one scene and because they're only a few weeks into filming. But we got a scene where Diana Prince saves a young girl from some bad guys in Miami Vice gear in a very 80s mall. So that's pretty awesome. Now they don't. That footage isn't on the website, but it's pretty awesome. I'm telling
you. I couldn't find that, so I haven't seen that. I got to go try to find that again.
I found it, and it was gone within an hour.
Yeah, I haven't found it either.
Yeah. WB has lawyers, is what I'm thinking. But it looks. I'm really excited to see what happens. You do know that Chris Pine was on the panel. That's all I'm going to say about that. How that's going to come into play, I have no idea.
Oh yeah. Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's ahead.
Spoiler alert.
I think it's going to be like flashbacks or something.
Yeah, like that it has to be.
Yeah, you would think.
There's genuinely no other way around that I can
think of. That's basically like his Haley Atwell to her Captain America.
Yeah.
We'll see how this works
Interesting.
Out. Next, my man, Jason Momoa.
My man, too.
Is amazing in Aquaman. Is he a dude, bro? Yeah, I don't care. You know what else he is? Cool as balls, whatever that means. He is the coolest guy in every room. If you watch the panel, find the panel in your YouTube vids and watch him walk into this thing.
Oh my gosh.
It's like they start playing Roaring Waterfalls, so the whole stadium is just full of waterfalls noises. And he comes in and the crowd gets louder than that noise. And that noise is loud as hell. Like a rock star. He just walks in and he's like, what's up? More energy than anybody in the entire convention.
Seriously.
Fantastic.
Did you see him on Fallon last week?
Huh, no.
He did. It's really silly, but you got to go watch the YouTube video of it. He and Momoa played War, you know, like the card game.
Yeah.
They call it Water War. So if you lose, the other player gets to dump a glass of water on your head.
Didn't they do this a couple of years ago?
Yeah,
or something?
I thought they did.
That's an old thing. I don't think that's new.
No. It's not a new bit. He does it multiple times with different guests.
No, I mean, he's done it with Momoa like a year or two ago. I did see this.
Oh, was it? Maybe it's a rehash. I assumed it was a new one because Aquaman was coming out. So, but man, it's hilarious.
It is really funny.
Where he's wearing the hat?
Yeah.
Is it the same one?
Yeah, it's the same one. Yep, same one.
Okay. Well, I apologize. I thought it was a brand new one. No, shows fine. What I know. It's still funny to
it's
watch.
It's still funny. You should still go back and see it.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Also, you should check out his teaser trailer. Not even just for the trailer, just the teaser for the trailer.
The dude is, for teasing a teaser trailer, he dives into the ocean.
Jumps off a cliff, dives in.
We think he did. It's probably a stuntman. But I don't know. He might have done it. It's Hawaii.
I think he would have. It's his hometown.
Island, I think. Isn't he from Hawaii?
Yeah. I don't know what it's called when you're on Hawaii.
Island?
Sure. Well, I mean, like, I would still call it a hometown.
That's a big-ass town.
Anyway.
Right. Well, it's his own place. He's Momoan.
There's...
when he goes out to Moa's lawn, I'm going to go Momoan.
The Rock is Samoan, and, you know, he's Momoan.
I got it. That's hysterical. Well, there is a scene that I have to talk about in this trailer, which, by the way, okay, there is... There's footage. It includes like a shot of Momoa wearing the old school yellow outfit from the comics, as well as there's an action sequence featuring Nicole Kidman's Atlanta. It shows Aquaman and that actress who can't act playing Queen Mira, Amber Heard. They're in a desert city. They're unlocking secrets. There are armored sharks. There's Patrick Wilson as his half-brother, who's apparently Hela from Thor Ragnarok, as well as a fight scene with Aquaman and Mira fleeing Black Manta, which is a huge Aquaman villain. All that stuff is cool, right? All that stuff. I mean, some of the special effects I think is a little dicey. I don't think it all quite works. Looks a little too Force or Phantom Menace in certain areas. But when there's a scene where he drops into a ship, looks behind him in the sexiest come hither look you could ever imagine and says, "Permission to come aboard," to the armed guards behind him. Aquaman wants to bang the militia. I freaking love this. Just it's like
I want to be the militia.
It's so ridiculous. Like, why are you sexing it up for the people with the guns? I don't know, but it's amazing. Now, Scott, tell us your wife's story.
Oh yeah, my wife. I watched this trailer. I showed her this trailer, and as soon as he said that line, the trailer wasn't even done yet, and she's like, "He's got permission to come aboard." Permission granted, sir. I was laughing really hard.
That's really funny. Your wife has good taste in him.
And now she's glaring at me from over my shoulder.
That's the way it should be. That's the way it should be. The thing what I like most about it is James Wan said, "I wanted our film to be more unique. So my movie plays like more like a science fiction fantasy film than a traditional superhero movie." That's all great. And I do think there's a lot going on. It all looks cool and crazy and very science fiction-y. But I also think Momoa seems to really love playing Aquaman.
He is Aquaman.
Totally.
It makes convinced. Such a difference in the entire film. I mean, same thing happened with Wonder Woman. You know, Gal Gadot really got into it, and she was such a believable character because she loved being Wonder Woman. And you can tell that he freaking loves it. It's not an ego thing. I think he really loves it. And at the end, when he jumps out of plane and he's like, "Woohoo!" I think that's him. I think he's just like, "Yeah, I'm Aquaman."
And you know that's saying something, man, because you were really against the whole Aquaman thing being in a movie.
Hated it
a long time ago.
Yeah, a year ago, actually, listening to the old Comic-Con episode. If you go listen to that, he is talking, "Oh my god, I've always hated Aquaman as a character, and blah blah blah. But this Aquaman at least might look cool, and blah." And here we are today, and he's like, "This is my top one of the whole thing."
Dude's got a chain wallet. Don't care. I mean, he's Aquaman. He'd lose his wallet. It makes sense. He's in the ocean. It rusts, but whatever.
Whatever.
We're not going to address that little continuity error.
He takes pride in his work, and I think that's what it is. I don't think it's ego. I agree with you. I think it really is. He's just proud of what he's done and what he can do and that he is being well-received, especially for a character that people were really, really angry about him playing just for because he's a bulkier
those
dude.
Those people suck. Because he is amazing.
And I think
and
a
I
lot
was
of
probably
people have
one
changed.
Of them. No, I like him as an actor. So
yeah, but I think a lot of people have changed their perspective where they were like, "Oh, I hate Aquaman. I don't want him on screen," or "I don't want this guy to play Aquaman." And then they saw him on screen and they're like, dude, he's got the chemistry. He's got the right vibes. Like, he, even if he isn't your comic book Aquaman, he is our film Aquaman
he's
that we want.
He's the best thing about Justice League. Go watch that when he's sitting on the Lasso of Truth.
That's so funny. So I great. Love that scene.
Ah, I gotta see it. I'm so excited.
It's going to be so good.
December 21st. This is coming out the same day as Alita Battle Angel. Piss off, Alita. Yeah, yeah.
Holy cow. That's weird for a superhero movie to come out that close to Christmas, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, see how it does. Star Wars has the year off.
Yep.
That's true. That's true.
That's probably where they put it. Should have put Solo in. It probably would have done a lot
they
better.
They would have. Yeah. They would have done it then.
But I'm really excited for it. I do, like I said, special effects look a little dicey, but you know, we're also 6 months away.
I want to know how they do that where, like, he's talking, but they make his hair look like it's flowing in the water. I mean, is that just all computer?
Yeah, they did that in the last Pirates movie where Javier Bardem, his hair is moving the entire movie. It's actually a really cool effect. I don't know
how it looked really cool in the trailer. So
you know what I wish they would do is add some kind of effect to make Amber Heard believable.
Is she the redhead in this?
Yeah.
So what's that character? Because
Queen Mira.
Okay. So not Poison Ivy. Because that's all I assumed when I saw that.
Yeah, it looks like Poison Ivy. I get where you're coming from, man. That's not far off.
That's very red hair. Like, not like a redhead. That's like red hair.
It's like Crayola wig.
Yeah. Yeah. She's like, I'm gonna try to be the live action Little Mermaid, and I'm gonna just shoop all red.
What? What just happened? All right. Last one. Oh, my God. This is the biggest shock for me because I had no care in the world for anything to do with this movie. If you told me I'd be ecstatic for a superhero movie about a 12-year-old kid who can magically say the word Shazam and become Zachary Levi as a Superman-esque superhero, I'd tell you to check your med dosage because – no way. I thought this whole idea looked awful. It looked like another DC misfire. Had no interest. Watch the trailer. So much fun. It's big for superheroes. What'd you guys
think? Feel like they've finally listening to us. They've given us the humor and awesomeness that we've wanted in a DC movie. And I was smiling the whole time. Well, once the trailer started getting funny, I was smiling. It seemed like a very super serious movie for the first like 45 seconds to a minute, whatever. And it just was all laughs the whole rest of the time. Zachary Levi, he's not that buff, right? Is that?
I think he probably got in shape, but I mean, it's the guy, he was on Chuck. And last time I saw him was in Psych the movie. And I'm just like, now you're Shazam? And it looks good. Because when I hear Shazam, I remember, like, I don't remember what it was when I was a kid. I watched something where they're like, Shazam! There's a guy that
was Andy Griffith.
Maybe it was. Yeah, maybe it was Jim.
Shazam. It was Shazam. Gomer.
Yeah, Gomer Pyle.
Decoy. Shazam.
Manda, are you excited for this one?
I am. And I feel like we should all note this, that John told us so like a year ago. He said it.
He called it.
He did.
That's right. You re-listened to the whole episode.
I re-listened to and I'm sitting here listening to him, and he's like, Shazam this, Shazam that. I love this. This is one of my, like, all-time favorite whatever, and everyone was like, negative Ghost Rider, and he's like, but I'm telling you all of the reasons why it's going to be great. Nobody was really on board with him.
Oh, we got to not tell him.
And now we find out if John listens to the episode.
Right? So here's the moment where I say, I think John is completely right, because that movie, that trailer for that movie looks great. And I did not care one way or the other. I could just hear the word in my head and I was like, oh, fun. I like saying Shazam. But
who doesn't?
Right?
Say it while you're driving. You know, the next time you're in a board meeting and you are bored, say Shazam, and I bet everybody lightens up.
Or when you finish giving your presentation an idea, you just go, Shazam! And you walk away. Like, that's your mic drop.
It's better than that Shaq line, Kazam!
Oh my gosh, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Is that where he was the genie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was really bad.
Oh my God.
That was really bad.
So terrible.
And I would say, you know, just like Tom Hanks and Big, I think Levi really has the right energy to play it up as a kid, getting that chance to live out his dreams. He just seems like he nailed that. I mean, it's a small sampling, but I think he nailed
it. I was going to say, I can't compare it to Big until I see more. That's a heavy stretch for me.
What if he's on the cape and he plays the piano and he floats and he just...
Oh my God, I'll
while
cry.
He's flying.
That'd be so cute.
Does chopsticks flying in air?
I I know that this is a profound thing to say, but I love the scene in the robbery when he realizes that he's bulletproof. He's like, you're dead. Because it was supposed to be like the serious line, but he just got done laughing. That cracked me up.
And what was the line when he walks out and sees the girl?
I'm a superhero.
Like, superhero, what's up?
Sorry about your window. You're welcome for not getting robbed.
Wow, you really got these lines down. How many times did you watch the trailer?
I watched it more than once, I'm not going to lie.
Obviously.
All right, so we all went around and said all of our favorite things from the panels. And before I want to mention one more thing, but before we get to that, I'm going to say each one of you, pick the best overall thing from Comic-Con. What for you won Comic-Con, Amanda?
Oh, out of all of them?
All the stuff we just talked about, yeah.
That's...
Got you the most excited.
Probably Fantastic Beasts 2, but...
Say with some more excitement.
Well, it's
probably
hard.
Fantastic Beast 2.
It's hard because there's a couple that are, it's right there with it. But I feel like that's the one that I've rewatched the most.
She's really worried about losing that card.
No.
If she picks anything else, she's going to, they're listening. They're gonna revoke her status as a Potter fan.
Yeah. No.
If she doesn't say Fantastic Beast 2.
It is the top, but it's pretty much tied with like Glass. I'm super, super, super excited about.
No, you can't repeat all the other ones. Just pick one.
I'm not. I'm just saying it's like really tied with that one.
All right. Scott, what about you? Won the show.
100% Glass. Like I already said it. I need to see that movie yesterday. It just got me all kinds of excited. I love what he's doing with those characters and how he brought them together and surprised us with Split. And I think that I'm really hoping that this isn't the end of it. I really hope we see more down the line.
I'm going to say Glass as well.
Mm,
yeah.
I kind of thought you were going to say Aquaman.
Aquaman. Trust me, they are close. But I was really surprised that Glass, you know what? Nah, screw it. I'm going Aquaman. Screw it.
You're welcome.
You know what? I'm going back to Aquaman. Because I can't. You know what the truth is? Every time I walk around, I keep thinking of that damn trailer. So, yeah.
You know, he's not going to be buddies with you if you pick his movie over everybody else. You know that.
He might.
He's actually seems to be a very nice guy and is really cool with his fans.
Just ordered a chain wallet from Amazon.
Are you going to go up to Canada sometime? Isn't that where he has been doing a lot of filming and stuff?
What do you know where he's at? Stalker?
He puts it on his Instagram.
That'll help. Yeah.
He posts with his fans. Like, he'll hang out with them and have a drink with them.
I'm going to, walk up to him with, a goldfish. Just be like, will you sign my...
Will you sign my water?
My water bowl.
Sign my Aquafina bottle.
Oh, man.
Just randomly drop in different spots with a random fish. See, man, I'm your most dedicated fan, Aquaman. I mean, Jason. Can I call you Jason? And by the way, if you go and find, he's got a dragon that he rides in the Aquaman movie. Yeah, it's like a dragon fish or something. I don't know. He rides in the Aquaman movie. I saw it in the first look in Entertainment Weekly. And it looks like something you would use to try to pick up a Khaleesi.
Yeah. Yep. And he should totally go back and do that.
I think they're totally connected. Like the world, the universes are connected somehow.
He's actually Khal Drogo. His origin story is he was killed in this place called Westeros and he was brought back to life on planet Earth
in the
water.
So he could pay his debt to Westeros by having to date Amber Heard.
I like it. I want to see this happen. I want to see more, universes that have nothing to do with each other just show up in each other's universes. I think that would be outstanding.
I would watch the hell out of that. And Vin Diesel's got to show up twice in every one of them.
Even if it's just a cameo, just in the distance, you see him sitting drinking coffee somewhere.
As Riddick. He's just sitting there with the shades
with the glasses up on top of his forehead.
Yeah.
Can we have a Jason Momoa and The Rock movie? I don't know what they're doing together, but I want them to just be on screen.
It'd be a lot of high fives.
But they're both so much positive energy. I wonder who would outweigh the other. Because they're both so loud and take up so much, not take up physically of the screen, but they capture your attention so well.
Here's a question. Who would win in a fight?
Oh, I don't know, but I want to watch it.
Yeah, I do too. It'd be sexy. That's for sure.
I think The Rock might edge him out. I'm not going to lie.
I think he probably would, but Jason could flip his hair back and maybe knock his sight out a little bit. Get him in the eye.
What?
What just happened?
You never been hit in the face with hair?
Not like that.
My hair gets in my eyes and it's troublesome.
Different ways, but not like that. All right, so I had little interest in Halloween's reboot, but I have to share this little Comic-Con story as we close this part out. This is, to me, what the power of fandom is. So the Halloween panel, one fan choked up while telling Jamie Lee Curtis that he escaped a life-threatening incident in which another man cut his phone line and then tried to break into his house. So he thought to himself, what would Jamie Lee Curtis do? And he ran out into the street screaming for help. To make a long story short, I'm here today. This is what he said to her. I'm here today because of the way you portrayed Laurie Strode. I'm a victor and not a victim. You're the only reason I came to Comic-Con this year. And then Jamie Lee Curtis left the stage to embrace the fan, gave him a very long hug, kissed him on the cheek, and said, these kind of emotions are real. Now, the reason why I tell that story is I know so much of the world is cynical these days, and entertainment has been really, really hard to enjoy lately because people won't stop doing dumb things, right? It keeps happening. But this, to me, is the power of the medium, because for some people, they might look at that and roll their eyes or think it's ridiculous. But to some people, that changes lives. I mean, it really does. And film and television and characters that we resonate with, like a lot of the people that go to these conventions, it's just, it's very meaningful. It gives them a lot of people purpose in their lives. And I just think that's a wonderful story. And I love that about movies and TV and fandom. It's a great
story. I do like that story. And by the way, the whoever makes those WWJD bracelets, is they're just going to be raking in the money now, right?
What would Jamie do?
Like, just bring those back. What would Jamie do?
That's funny.
That is funny. Clever. That'll work out.
Isn't that a beautiful story?
It is a beautiful story. It I really a, like
it
that.
It is really sweet.
Especially coming from a movie that's in the horror genre. I feel like it gets a bad rap a lot of the time. Like, but here she is.
Well, I mean, they're doing like third sequel. They're doing the same movie they already did once.
I know, but I'm just saying those types of movies aren't typically ones where they're like, you helped me. Yeah, it's always like a weird kids movie or I don't know, something else that's more seen as.
And I actually told some people that story and they rolled their eyes at me.
What?
Yeah. Like, that's just ridiculous. It's just a movie. I'm like, eh.
Until somebody's breaking in your house and you don't know what to do, so now you're going to die because you didn't want to watch the movie.
Same people that paint their face and go to football games and be like, roo, 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 and then their whole lives are consumed by that. But that's not the same thing.
Different. If somebody said that about a book they read, it would be the same, you know.
It's just
a different medium.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. Fandom's fandom, man. That stuff changes lives. So that's a really cool story. We love those. Now, we've got an interview with our man on the ground, Kyle Nolan from NoReruns.net. He was there, and he's going to tell you all about some of the stuff that happened at this year's Comic-Con. Kyle, what did you think of Comic-Con? Overall thoughts before we get into everything. What did you think of this year's Comic-Con?
So, I mean, I definitely had a really good time, but there definitely seemed to be something missing without Marvel and HBO there. Other shows got to step up, like Riverdale got moved to Hall H, which I don't know if that would have happened had HBO or Marvel been doing panels there. And also, Fox seemed to be promoting the heck out of Deadpool, even though there's not even a Deadpool movie. They had redone some suite to look like Wade's room, and they covered all the bathrooms with these interesting toilet seat covers promoting Deadpool.
Did they really?
You can look at my Instagram for a picture. It's like it's popping in or plopping down on Blu-ray. Like, it was very odd. You see his face right in the part you would poke out in the middle. And then
that's amazing.
The floor also seemed a little bit subdued this year, because normally like HBO or ABC does this giant recreation of some set. Like, they did the White House one year, they did a pirate ship another year, but they didn't have any panels this year either, so their booth was just basically a shop where you could buy merchandise. And Walking Dead usually has like some recreation of a scene that you can go and get your photo taken. I usually make a beeline to that right away when I enter the convention center, and all it was this year was they had a bunch of phones there for doing something. I didn't even bother to check what it was, but they had built a giant thing on the outside. It seemed like a lot of the big stuff was now moved to offsite, so that's where it really flourished this year, with lots of cool offsite stuff.
Yeah, because I've been there for the show a couple times, and you know, they were starting to expand the last time I went. So, you know, outside of their border, they're not really at the convention center anymore. Now they're at the hotel down the street, or they're, you know, Conan O'Brien does his show a few blocks away live, and all that jive. So they're really getting away from the convention center and making it more of a San Diego Comic-Con entire city event. Is that what they're doing?
Yeah, and all that stuff's open to the public, so even if you didn't have a ticket, you could easily fill the entire weekend just going to all these outside activations and finding plenty to do, because Sci-Fi took over the Children's Museum, and they were doing stuff all weekend. I think that was open to the public as well. I don't think you necessarily needed a ticket to get into that, so there was so much you could do even without a ticket.
What was there a ton of cosplay this year?
Yeah, there was lots. I mean, I think the most disturbing what might have been, I saw like a 3 or 4 year old Pennywise, and also an 8 year old Negan with a bloody bat and like guts all over his shoulder and stuff. So those are a little disturbing. I saw like some real lots of Harry Potter characters. Like there was an impressive I can't think of his name. The guy who tells Harry he's a wizard.
Dumbledore?
No, sorry, the other guy who goes and picks him up.
Oh, the big guy. I don't remember his name. Somebody's yelling right now.
This guy
right
looked
now.
Like he had the stature of him. And so, like, there were some really impressive costumes. But I was mainly inside at the press rooms or in activation. So I tended to not – I only spent about 2 hours at the convention center, and that was enough to do what I wanted to do.
That's it? You just spent 2 hours inside that you didn't go to Hall – well, because you do interviews and press stuff, so you don't really go to Hall H very much.
I went to Hall H finally on Sunday. That was for the last three panels of the con. So I saw like Riverdale. What was after that? Oh, Mayans MC, and then Legion. And then I saw one panel in the middle of the week, which was a Discovery of Witches, because they gave me a panel pass. So I was able to go see that, and then I had to run across the whole building to get to the press room for that right afterwards.
So since you – and it's Hagrid. Is that the guy you were trying to think of earlier?
Yes, Hagrid. Okay. Yes. Yep.
I had to cover that before somebody was writing letters. So
I'm sure people were already screaming at their radios.
Yeah, they were. What do you mean you don't know? So I got to ask, since you were there, and that's the one thing we're not really talking about on the podcast, the Mayans MC, does that look like a good Sons of Anarchy continuation, or is that just something – I went to it because it was the panel before the other panel you really wanted to see.
Well, I this was very similar to the panel that I saw at ATX. So they showed the first 13 minutes of the show, which it looks really good. It looks – if you enjoyed Sons of Anarchy, it's the same type of vibe, except now we're following the Mayans. So it should be – anyone who is a fan of that show should definitely be watching this. All right. It looks very good. And then one thing that Kurt Sutter likes to note is that the cast has more jail time than screen time. So like all these people really can embody their characters, because a lot of them have done time for various things. So, I mean, both this panel and the ATX panel, they're basically just short introduction to basically every actor that was on the stage. They probably had like 20 people on the stage. So they didn't get too deep into what the show is, but just basically introducing all the actors to everyone.
That's actually kind of cool that they're giving ex-cons more of a chance.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess it really helps them add authenticity to their roles, because they know what these characters go through.
Yeah. Danny Trejo has been advocating for that for a long time. So that's good. All right. So most exciting news or panel you personally experienced, or even an interview. I mean, what's the most exciting one of those you experienced while you were there?
So I think my most exciting panel or press room for me was actually the Disenchantment press room, just because I've been a fan of The Simpsons for 30 plus years, and to actually get to sit at a table with Matt Groening and ask him questions was really nice. And it was I was just impressed with the whole vibe in the room, because there were three tables of people in the room, and I've never seen this before. It was deadly silent because they basically brought him and another producer to each table and talked to them for 10 minutes. But normally when these press rooms are going on, people are just chatting away, talking to each other, and there's a general hum in the room while the interviews are going on. While he was at our table, no one was talking. Everyone was listening because everyone like just appreciated his work and was interested in the show. And I've never seen that before. So, and even like after tables wrapped, the next you go to the next table and everyone was still sticking around to listen to what he had to say to the next table. So it was really impressive. And I think during the second table, John DiMaggio showed up and he joined in as well, talking to the people at the tables.
What is Disenchanting going to be about? I know it's like from the creator of The Simpsons. It kind of looks like The Simpsons, but what is it?
So it's more of a fantasy. So Futurama was like took place in the future. This takes place, they wouldn't say past, present, future, but it's set in a fantasy realm. So it centers around this Princess Bean, who's the main character, and then she has like a personal demon and an elf character. And so it's much more serialized than any of the other series he's ever done. So it's not like a fun episode of the week adventure. It's very serialized. So each week continues from the next. And so it's telling one long story and they have several seasons figured out, and there's going to be an overarching mystery that he said that there's clues in the very opening scene of the first episode that will tell you what that mystery is and give you so many clues about it if you can figure out what it means. So I forget his exact wording, but he said, note my wording on this, because he was saying specifically how to read this scene in order to figure out what's going on and what the general theme of the show is going to be moving forward.
That's fascinating. Did you get any other like really cool interviews that you want to plug or mention? You got pretty excited.
Yeah. The Purge Room was, that just made me really excited for the show. I think one of the actresses even noted like, wow, you look so excited when I was asking the questions, because the more they talk about the show, I just want to see the show. So this show is going to be, I think it's 10 episodes, and it takes place 10 years after the first Purge. And so it's going to be another Purge event where it's going to take place the night of the Purge, but through flashbacks, we're going to learn about these various people that are involved in the Purge. There's one guy who's looking for his sister that's missing, so he's going to be doing that during Purge night. He's like a military guy. Then there's this other woman who tries hard at her job, and she always gets passed over for promotion, so she decides to hire a Purge assassin, whatever those people are called, that you can hire to go do your purging for you to take care of her work situation. But she's like generally a really nice woman who follows the rules, who just is always good, and now she's going through that. And then Fiona Dourif, her character is called Good Leader Tardif, I think. And so I asked her, are you really good? And she's like, oh, yes, I'm nice, perfect. She basically sounds like a cult leader who has her own children that she's been training for this, and they'll like die for her or do stuff for her, whatever her commands are. So I'm really curious to see what that character is and how she plays out during the Purge.
That's on USA. Okay, there's two shows I want to ask you if you know anything about, Manifest and The Passage. Either one of them?
I have not seen The Passage, but I have seen the first episode of Manifest, and I did that press room. So that is, in some ways, it's definitely going to be compared to Lost, where there's a plane that disappears and comes back. So it's basically this plane disappears and everyone on Earth thinks it's been gone for five and a half years. But to the people on the plane, it's only been like normal time passed. So when they land, they just think, oh, we had a bit of turbulence, but they land and discover that everyone thought they were dead and for the past five and a half years are missing, and they've all moved on with their lives. And so they haven't said if it's supernatural or scientific, but there's weird things that are happening to these people that were on the plane, and they sort of have a connection with one another. So that actually looks really good. I'm definitely want to see more of that.
So the pilot sold you though?
Definitely. Yep.
Okay. That's good to know. That's good to know, because that's one that I'm excited about, and I wanted to know a little bit more about it, so now I do. And basically, it's Lost again. Lost on land.
Yes. I mean, they said they have, we asked like how many seasons do you have planned out, and they said, oh, we want to do at least six. So they're ambitious, but we'll see how long it goes, but I definitely want to see more of it.
Isn't it an NBC show, right?
Yes. Yep.
And it's mythology heavy. Good luck with that 6 years, buddy. Let me know how that works out for you. I hope it does, though. It looks really cool. All right. So, craziest thing you saw the entire Comic Con. What's the craziest thing you saw?
I would say the craziest thing I saw when I was just walking down the convention floor, and all of a sudden I came upon the Deadpool Super Duper Dance Party, which is just animatronic Deadpool singing 9 to 5 with the band from the Country Bear Jamboree.
From and Chuck E. Cheese?
From Chuck E. Cheese, yes. So this is awesome. Just very odd sight. I had put a short clip of it on my Instagram feed. So I was just, what the heck is going on when I came across that?
Hey, what's your Instagram feed? I'm sorry, I should have asked.
It's 2TWO Kyool, KYOOL.
Ah, you're too cool. I get it. I'm thinking. Any other really cool promotions, or what was the coolest promotion you saw? I know there was a Jack Ryan escape room. There was a couple other things you did there.
Yeah, so for the interesting promotions, I'll talk about two of them now, and then I'll talk about the third one for their last question.
Okay.
So the first one was for The Purge. They did this Purge City, which was basically a party city type of thing. So you walked up, and it looked like it was a store that's going to sell you all your Purge supplies. So you walked in, the people are all friendly, excited. They're like, oh, what are you going to do for your purge night? Are you going to stay in, or are you going to hunker down, or are you going to go out and have a good time? And so if you said one thing, they would react one way. If you said the other thing, they would react the other way. So I was like, oh, I think I'll go out. So one guy whispered me, oh, me and my friends, we went out last year. We had a great time. We had sex with llamas. I'm like, what?
What?
Like, and this guy's completely serious. Like, no reaction on his face. I'm like, okay, that's good for you. I'm glad you had a good time. So I these actors just did a really good job of just staying in character. And really giving that feel of like, this was the greatest thing ever, The Purge, that they just are so excited for it. But you could walk around this store and they had like special product demos every 30 minutes, like some kind of laundry detergent that could get blood out of everything. And then they also had like these demonstrations of like whole house security systems. You could go press buttons and see how the different systems work, like one to put fires out on your roof. Well, it was well thought out and so incredibly detailed. I was just really impressed at how well that was done.
That sounds really impressive. What was the other one you wanted to talk about?
So then the other one was for The Good Place. Like every year, NBC takes over this restaurant called The Tin Fish. Mm-hmm. So this year they took it over and they called it The Good Plates. And so you could buy food and stuff in there. But they also had like a whole elaborate interactive experience that was based on the show. You were put in this stark white room where Janet and Michael explained The Good Place and why you were there. And then the doors opened in the back and you went into like this carnival-like atmosphere. And so when you first entered, they gave you this RFID bracelet. So these actors and characters would come up to you, scan your bracelet on their tablet, and then start talking to you. And they always use the wrong name or the wrong information about you because you're supposed to be that you didn't belong in a good place. And so you just have to pretend that, oh, this is all who I am. But like these people would come up with random things. Like one woman ran up to me and told me I was her soulmate and how we were going to be together forever. And then this other woman came over and said, you really have to stop doing this. They're not your soulmates. And then she looked all sad and she walked away, and I could hear her in the background. She was then doing the same exact thing to someone else, telling them how she was that woman or man was their soulmate as well. But you could walk around and they had different stations. Like in the show, there was these flying shrimp. So they had this little ride that was like one of those rides you find outside of a store with like three little horses. But instead of horses, it was shrimp. And so you just rode around in a circle if you wanted for a little while. It wasn't the most exhilarating ride, but they gave you like a little foam shrimp for riding on that. And then they had another station that was a guy like Cheaty from the show who would like step you through the trolley problem and ask you these morality questions. But as you were talking to him, some guy came out like screaming his love for Puddle of Mud and how he was from the bad place and how all of us didn't belong. And so things started to amp up as the event went along. So then like I wandered off for a bit. I could still hear him yelling at other people. I wandered off for a bit and talked to some other woman who came up to me and she's like, I don't belong here, but if I take a really good picture of you, they might let me stay. And so she was trying to use her camera and then it wasn't working. So she looked frustrated and then asked if she could borrow my camera. So then she lined up the picture. It's like, oh, I got a perfect picture of you. Like, it's perfect. Take a look. And then she handed me back her camera and she took a selfie of herself instead of taking a picture of me.
That's pretty fantastic.
But then things really started. I could hear the guy screaming again. We started hearing a voice saying, you got to get out of here. You don't belong. And things just started going nuts. The music got louder and some guy like just ripped off his shirt and started doing push-ups because that was also in an episode, like in the second season of the show, there's a guy that does that. And like things just started going nuts. And eventually they moved us out of the building and hand us these pins as we exited. I think I had went on press preview night, so we didn't get the emails, but I think what you get is based on how you interacted with all these people, you'll get like an email with your score and whether you belonged in the good place or the bad place.
So it all came together. I get it. Well, you sound like you had a great time. Sounds like an awesome time. Yeah. This year.
Yeah.
Overall for you, you know, people always say that. What won the show? What won Comic-Con for you? What was the one thing where you're like, that was the best thing of the year?
So for me, it had to be the whole Jack Ryan experience. I don't know how much money Amazon spent on this thing, but it had to be a lot of money. Like, this thing was enormous.
Was it an escape room? Is that what it was? Or?
So basically, when you first walked in, the whole thing is set up like this Middle Eastern bazaar. So you could walk in, you could get free drinks, ice cream, fruit. Like, you walk around and there were newspapers lying around that had little missions for you to do. So it might say like
it's like the Westworld experience a little bit in that.
A lot like that. Like, there were people and characters like talking to you. Like, if you filled in the crossword, you would give it to someone and then they sort of wrap up your paper in like a water bottle and some other thing inside, like a hand to you all covertly, like you were a spy. So it was very interactive that way, just for everyone. But then they had two like huge things you could participate in. So one was like the VR training experience, and one was an escape room. But the VR training experience is the one that they must have spent loads of money on. So for that one, I got to do that one. Fortunately, I had a scheduled appointment because otherwise it was basically getting full at like 5 a.m.
Oh my God. Yeah. People don't realize that when you go to Comic-Con, if you want to do something, you have to get up early or spend the night.
Yeah. Cause I think only like 50 people per day could actually do it. But basically it felt like you were on American Ninja Warrior. Cause they had someone from Twitch, like doing a Twitch live stream and commentary on everything that was going on. And it was all displayed on a giant screen in the middle of the obstacle course thing that you were going through. Mm-hmm. So for that one, what I did for the VR experience, and once they call you in, they have these cots in the tent where you sit down, they give you a briefing on the mission, and then they put on your harness and this whole full VR suit that you have to wear with things on your hands and on your feet, and then and glasses, but you don't put the glasses on yet. Then they have you jump on the back of this cart that then drives you all the way across the whole bizarre thing to the other side of the activation. And then you basically run up 6 to 8 floors, flights of stairs, into this massive helicopter that's sitting on top of a building that they built. And then you sit in the helicopter until it's your turn. And they have like, it feels like you're in a real helicopter. They have the wind blowing. They have like sounds of the helicopter. And so once you get out of that, then you go and sit on the edge of this high building. And then they finally have you put on your VR glasses. And then they strap you into this rope that's basically hanging from the helicopter down to the bottom of that building. And so then you begin this whole VR experience. So first it feels like you're rappelling down a building on this rope. And with the VR, it looks much higher up than it was in real life. I mean, you're still like 6 to 8 flights up, but it feels
really
even involved, higher.
Like you're really into it, like you're really there?
Oh, yeah, 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 that's definitely. Cool. Like, especially, like, the next thing, after you get down that building, then you see at the edge of the of that building, there's this plank of wood that goes across into an adjoining building, and you have to walk across that plank. And, like, I know because I saw ahead of time that it's just a whole wide concrete thing with a small plank of wood there. But when you're walking on that in the VR world, you can see it looks like there's nothing down there below you besides this plank of wood. And it's also very rickety. So it's not like a nice little, like, they can make it rock or shake. And so when you're trying to walk, it, like, I started feeling, oh my gosh, like, I thought I really was high up. Like, and if you try to walk too fast, the board will break. So it becomes even thinner. Like, one half of the board will fall off. Mm. Into the, and so then it feels like you're only walking on something even thinner. So you have to, like, sort of, like, I was, I had my plan. I was, I'm just going to run across this thing and not do it. As soon as I stepped on that thing and it started wobbling, I'm like, I'm taking this slow. And the guy was even telling me, like, other people had even gone on all fours and shimmied across because it felt so real, like, that you feel like you're on this really thin board that's going to just not hold up your weight.
That's pretty phenomenal.
And so once you make it across that, then you enter this other room where now some night vision kicks in and these people are shooting at you. So you have to grab a taser and they're telling you to look for this intelligence that's hidden somewhere in the room. So you're trying to toss things and open things and look for this while trying to shoot other people. And then once you make it through that, then you get to this other thing that it basically looks like a telephone line that's going from the roof down to the ground. So it's like you're looping in like a wire over that and then just sliding down that telephone line, but you're really grabbing onto a zip line. So once you grab onto the zip line, you start sliding down, and it wasn't that, I mean, it was still pretty high, but it wasn't that high in reality, but it looks much higher again due to the VR stuff and the world that they create. Mm-hmm. So you feel like you're sliding down that zip line. Then at the bottom of the zip line, you get into this Jeep and you start driving. There's a guy to your right who's yelling all these commands like turn left, turn right, and you're going through these city streets while people are chasing you in another Jeep shooting at you. And so there's lots of quick turns and you're trying to make your way through these busy streets, and it keeps getting thinner and thinner and thinner as you're driving through different alleyways. And then finally, when you hit the end of that, then they let you take off your VR mask, and then you re-enter the tent, and there's all these soldiers there clapping, congratulating you on the mission.
Oh, that's cool.
And then they have John Krasinski on the screen. He gives you like a congratulations as well, and they give you like a mission coin and like a bag with a bottle in it. And then they have like I got some really intense like military guy like explaining to me how I need to drink some water and help the adrenaline come down, and like he was talking me through all the steps to, like, he's like, make sure you go over there, get some ice cream, get some water, it's important that you calm down, let the adrenaline rest.
You're like, I didn't really do anything, dude, I was just like wearing goggles.
But it really was, my heart was pumping by the end, because you really feel like you went through this whole course.
That's pretty,
like,
fantastic.
It really was like it was pretty intense, like, because of the VR.
I could see why that would win. That sounds pretty amazing.
I mean, they also had an escape room, which was less exciting, but with that they basically, at one point in the escape room, they had money fall from the sky, and they were telling us throughout the thing, like, oh, when the money comes, make sure you grab it, you can keep whatever's real. So I guess all the singles were real. Had I known that, I would have just gone for the singles, but I end up with $7, so
there you go. You helped capture some bad guys and you got $7, so
yeah. Well, the escape room, I think, was supposed to be the same mission that John Krasinski goes through in the pilot episode. So I guess it was based off of that. And of course, since it's Amazon, at some points we had to say, like, Amazon or Alexa, change the colors of the lights to be able to read some map.
What?
So they built in Alexa into the escape room in order to...
What a way to whore yourselves.
Yeah. And like when we need to talk to the command center, we had to ask her to talk to them and stuff. So,
well, thanks so much for coming by and explaining Comic-Con to people and kind of giving them a boots on the ground feel for it. I do appreciate that, man. That's been pretty cool.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
And again, Kyle Noland, noreruns.net. Noreruns.net. All right. Thanks, Kyle. Really do appreciate that. Two more real quick news items we have to mention before we get to reviews. Huge news. James Gunn was fired late last week from Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. Maybe you've heard. I hear there's a story about it every 5 minutes on the internet. Apparently, he had some inappropriate tweets that he made some years ago, and it came back and kind of bit him in the bum. And so now he's no longer doing Guardians 3. We don't know who else is going to do it. We're not going to get into all of that because this is a happy podcast. So you do know, in case you weren't aware, in case you somehow have avoided the internet, James Gunn is no longer working on Guardians 3. We don't know what's going to happen, but I'm sure he'll land on his feet and it'll all work out. Other big news, for some people, this might be even harsher. Mm. Buffy the Vampire Slayer is getting a reboot and Joss Whedon is involved.
Mm. I'll let you guys go first.
Scott, anything you want?
Well, I still wanted to talk about the last one, but all right.
No, go back. Let's go ahead. If you got something you want to say, have at it.
Well, I had a couple things I wanted to say about the James Gunn situation because, I mean, I assume you don't want to get real in-depth with it like you mentioned, but one thing that I haven't seen talked about a lot is, you know, Disney is going retroactive to what James Gunn posted on here. And again, I'm not sticking up for the guy, so don't take me as doing that because the things that he said, some of them were pretty – not even pretty, they were very gross. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this is 10 years ago that this happened. Have you watched any Disney movies? Like the early ones? Like their portrayal of Native Americans and Peter Pan or Siamese people and Lady and the Tramp or... I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean, they can't undo their own company history just like they can't undo his history. And I get it. They're a family organization. They got to do what's best for their consumers.
No, I'm with you. I'm not saying it's a... I'm not saying I disagree. Well... It's a tough situation because I don't like the world that we live in where that can happen. But I understand it. I don't like the way that it happened. I don't like the hypocrisy behind it. This is the world we live in, and I think this is the better conversation to have about it. Is be careful what you put on social media, guys. This is why, like in my classroom, I have conversations with my students all the time about social media because some of them are getting Facebook accounts and Twitter and Instagram and Snapchat, which makes me scared. But
hey, they won't save that. That's gone once you do it. Yeah.
But I tell my students, don't write anything you wouldn't want your mom to see on social media. Just don't do it because it's there forever. Even if you think you delete it. Now, granted, Gunn didn't delete what he put up there. That's why they're able to go find it. But it's somewhere. And if these guys can go dig it up just by looking on social media, somebody somewhere can go dig up anything that you wrote. Yeah. I think that's the bigger lesson here is just be more mindful of what you put on social media because it can bite you in the butt, and it did. So.
Yeah, I don't like people getting canned for words because I words are words. I think people should be able to tolerate words. But on the same token, I mean, it was really bad what he said in many respects. So
yeah, but I also feel like there are a lot of people, and I'm not really on either side at this point. I just kind of don't care because
I just wanted to go away.
The Buffy news took care of my heart more than any of this did. But we're talking about something that was, whether he was a creepy weirdo or not, he meant it in a joking manner from what he says, and I'm going to take that at face value. And it's not something that he actually did. It's not like he was out diddling kids and Disney was like, oh, you've been diddling kids. No, sir. It's stuff he's said.
Well, let me ask you this, Amanda, and I mean this completely respectfully. I ask you this. Like if his comments were, quote unquote, joking about African-Americans or women or homosexuals or bisexuals or something like that, would you still be as upset about it?
I feel like the biggest distinction for me, what I try to keep in mind is intentions and context. In the tweets that he has and from what he's said, it sounds like he was genuinely trying to be a comedian. And whether that was in poor taste or not is not what I'm arguing. I'm just saying that I think that we should have some sort of a distinction between that because there are comedians over plenty of years, and I understand comedy has changed and we are trying to change comedy to be more inclusive. But when comedians make jokes, sometimes they're bringing awareness to a situation. Sometimes they're just trying to get a laugh. Sometimes they're testing material to see what audiences will actually laugh at. And I don't know James Gunn's intentions, but I don't think he was... I think if it were reverse, where it was about, you know, black culture, or if it was about the gay community or something like that, the way that it was portrayed, it wasn't negative. I don't think that he intended to hurt anybody with that. I don't think his words were spiteful or mean or aggressive. I think he was just trying to get a feel for what he's good at, what comedy works, because there is a lot of comedy that is like this, that people make jokes about kids, and a lot of times people still laugh. But when you put the whole compilation of these ridiculous number of tweets, it looks horrible. And the jokes aren't, like, there's a couple of them that are funny, but then it starts to pile up and you're like, dude, what is your obsession with, like, jokes and little kids? It's a little weird.
That's not a little weird.
Yeah, it's very weird. Yeah.
It is
a
weird.
Lot weird.
And it's concerning for sure. And I'm not saying that Disney shouldn't have.
And he did take ownership.
He
and
did.
Apologize.
So, totally. Yeah. And that's one big step that I feel like most people, they try to.
But I would give make the excuse. Argument originally, Roseanne did immediately apologize and say she didn't realize that she was an African-American. I don't know if that's true or not, but she is a comedian by nature. She's been a comedian for many years. Nobody wants to give her any slack at all, because she's automatically branded and a racist, and her show is canceled. And I'm not defending her. By God, don't write me. I'm just saying, bygones be bygones. If this is the culture we created, this is the culture we have to live with. And do we want that culture where words determine everything about your character and they cost entertainment? Like, I get entertainers should not be talking about things. Like, just stay off Twitter and everything else, but that's a perfect world. We're not in a perfect world.
Well, that's kind of my point, too, is that if you're going to be – if this is the world that we live in, you've got to be okay when it happens on your side, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I'm not trying to turn this political, but that's where the hypocrisy drives me crazy is that's really what fueled this whole thing anyway. So it's okay for it to happen to this person, but it's not okay for it to happen to this person. It's not okay. This stuff isn't okay. I'm not going to defend either of them. It's still just an upsetting story.
Can we all just agree that – we're sick of seeing this in the news and the news feeds.
I am tired
talking
of it.
About it and everything else.
It got me to the point where I don't really care if he's on the film or not. I don't care. I mean, whatever. Society can do whatever they want. I don't care.
Let's go back to Buffy. So they're going to basically reboot her
with her.
Yeah, with the same character, but she's going to be African American, which is fine. It's not. I don't think that's anybody's issue. It's just, why not do one of the extended? Like, because there are other Slayers in the universe, so why not do one of those? It sounds like they're actually rebooting the character herself, which, to be fair, was a reboot of a movie. So, I mean, that's not the first time it's happened. Mandy, you're passionate about this, so.
Oh, my God. I'm not happy about this. Okay. I don't think I'll be succinct with this, so just bear with me.
Well, you need to be.
I will do my best. The show ended. The series ended with there being Slayers awakening everywhere, quote, unquote, and that there was a Hellmouth, even just into Ohio. So we could go to Ohio, grab one of those Slayers that has now awoken from the end of the series, and showcase that woman, that African-American woman. And if you didn't want to go with in Ohio or something, there were so many badass African-American women who were in the series finale, and they kicked ass. They were awesome. They were fun to watch. You could have one of them grow from being working beside Buffy and knowing her and getting mentored by her at the end to her own story. It could be a spinoff. It could be a branch off. Joss Whedon's had success with spinoffs from Buffy. There's no reason why we can't separate the story. For me personally, when I see an original creator rebooting his own work, that's to say that it wasn't good enough the first time, that I'm going to try and make it better this time. There is no reason why you should try to destroy the goodness that you created out of that when you could make something different, something new for people in the black community, which I think would serve them much better by having something that's different and unique to them that still is in this universe, so you can still create it and give that same superwoman feel to it. But isn't Buffy, because now all those people are going to think about is the white chick over and over again. Like, you could do so much better by not only your story, but also for the people you're trying to make this for. And for me, like, I don't like it.
Wow.
So there's that.
All right. That was passionate. Scott, where are you feeling with the Buffster? Because you don't even watch the show, right?
I watched the first two seasons. on your recommendation. It was years ago, and I didn't last more than that. I just wasn't super interested. But I'm happy for fans of the show. I don't know that I agree with Amanda. You're very passionate about your feelings there, and I'm not nearly as passionate. But I actually kind of like the idea of somebody taking their work and giving it another angle. I think I would rather, because nobody does that. I don't remember anybody taking something that is like such a long running series or a huge movie franchise and rebooting it themselves. I'm just interested to see what that looks like. Is it going to have the same tone? Is it going to have the same humor? Is it going to have that Joss Whedon feel to it? Because, you know, we haven't seen him in a while after he disappeared from Twitter, right? So I don't even know if he's the same guy.
Can't you reboot it or like spin it off where you're still?
Well, I think we should point out, like, he's not.
Not the primary.
He's not the showrunner. That's going to be Monica Owusu-Green. Yeah. She's the showrunner. Okay. Joss Whedon is actually just going to executive produce. So I'm sure he's not going to meddle too much. I think it's going to be the showrunner that really does most of the work.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll have some creative points that he'll touch on, but it won't be him doing the entire show, but he is on board with it, and he has basically, I mean, by being on board with it, you're kind of giving it the hoorah, like, all right, let's do this.
The hoorah.
Yeah.
Hoorah. Man, I'll be.
And
you've had your passion. Why don't you calm down?
I just had another cool point.
What's your cool point?
As a female showrunner, wouldn't you want to try to take an idea and create it as your own and make something new of it instead of just drawing off what somebody else has done to make it better?
We don't know what they're going to do.
They're making Buffy. They've already said that it's going to be Buffy, like the same character.
It's a reboot. Why? The idea of rebooting is to take something that's already existing and make it for the modern era. And Buffy's over 20 years old, so I guess
people still watch it and still find it now, though. There's a whole podcast devoted
to it. I could name 40 things that have been rebooted that shouldn't have been. I really don't have a big problem with it. Because I'm getting to the point, because there's so many reboots and remakes these days, I ran out of reasons to just poo-poo them. And I'm just like saying, you know what? They can't take away what I loved. So you can't change what I loved about whatever. I still have that. I'll go back and watch that. This new thing, maybe it'll be different. Maybe it'll be better. Just like I really like the Buffy the Vampire Slayer movie. Don't care what people thought. I like that movie. I thought Christy Swanson, still do, is a better Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Sarah Michelle Gellar did a fine job. She's not Christy Swanson, but I love that show too. It was a different take on it. So I'm interested to see where they go with it. I think there's a chance that something cool could come of it.
I really wish there were a podcast to talk about remakes.
Yeah.
Where they remake it right.
I hear that's going on. They actually had a Buffy the Vampire Slayer episode on Remake This Movie Right.
Yeah, it happened.
Just refer yourself in the third person.
Remake's going to do. All right, let's get to reviews. Let's move on to reviews. So we've got a couple before we close this out. I bet it's a long episode. Are you guys still with us? Huh? Are you still hanging tight? Did all that talk about all that stuff going on in Hollywood bum you out? Well, now we're going to get into some reviews. The first one is The Equalizer 2. Dos. Amanda.
So, Equalizer 2 obviously means that Denzel has reprised his role as Robert McCall, serving an unflinching justice for the exploited and the oppressed. Except this time, we have to question, how far will he go for someone he loves? Now, Aaron, you did see this, correct?
No. Yeah. No, okay, wrong. I did
we'll
not
move
see
on.
It. Yes, I saw it.
So, we're already talking about, things are getting rebooted and they're getting sequels. All of that's happening way too often.
Dude, all three of our reviews are sequels this week.
It's so funny.
That is funny.
Oh. How do you think this one compares to the first one, though?
They should have rebooted it instead.
It's like the same story. It's a Russian, but it's a different Russian. He's actually after Putin this time. How do I compare it to the first one? You know what I thought was really interesting about Equalizer 2 is it feels like its own movie. And Denzel Washington kept referring to that in the press tour. He kept saying that Equalizer 2 isn't a sequel. It's its own movie with the same character, which I thought was weird because I'm like, it's got the number 2 on it, dude. So it's kind of hard to argue it's not a sequel. But now that I've watched it, I really feel like it is a movie with its own unique style. It's a little different. It starts with the moments that you remember from the first one. It has like two back-to-back moments that are very reminiscent of the first movie. And then it kind of moves into a couple various stories. It's almost like if you watch the show, like three episodes of the TV show put together, where he's trying to avenge a friend that has been murdered. He's trying to help an old man that he drives around as a Lyft driver. He finds cases and people to help as a Lyft driver. And then the other one where he's trying to help a young boy stay out of the gang life. Those three things are happening consecutively, and it's a completely different movie. Like, he had other stuff that he was doing in the first movie, but it really felt like the Russian thing, and it wasn't Russian. Was it Russian? Were they Russian? I don't remember what they were, but.
In the first one?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't remember either.
Maybe they were nondescript. I'm pretty sure they were
Russian. Go to Google and find out for us.
No, it's fine. the gang in the first one was very much the focus, where here I feel like he's trying to avenge his friend, but he's also trying to do these other things. And it also has a lot of heart, way more than I think the first one had. There are moments where I actually teared up. There's a moment where Denzel is helping this kid get away from gangs. And, you know, you could jump into the logic era and say, why did he just end up like pointing a gun at some thugs and then hanging out in the same hallway and having this kind of heart to heart? But that's beside the point. He still has it. And it's a really meaningful discussion where he's telling this kid, is this the life you want? Because if this is the life you want, here's what you got to do to get it. And he's going through this conversation. And Denzel, because he's so good, just like crushed my heart watching that scene. And it's in the middle of this action flick. And I'm just sitting here tearing up. I'm like, why am I almost crying in a damn Denzel movie? And so, yeah, it's its own thing is the answer, I would say. The long answer to your question.
A lot of powerful pieces. Is there something you would have changed or done differently then?
I think the pacing is a little sluggish in spots. I'd tighten it up a little bit. It could probably be, to quote my buddy Troy, it could be 20 minutes shorter. Okay. And I think it would be an excellent movie. Because it does linger a little in spots. And the ending, I felt, the ending in the first movie was great. Like, it was powerful. There was some cool stuff as it, you know, ended with a bam. This one, I didn't think the ending was as powerful as it could have been, but it was still good.
What was the most, you talked about all the different storylines that are basically intertwined in it. So which one was the most powerful one for you to watch?
Where he's trying to help this kid, Miles. Is that his name, Miles?
Yeah.
Where he's trying to help this kid escape the gang life. I don't know why, but I really felt like this kid was really strong at what he was doing. And he was really coming across as somebody that was kind of caught between two worlds. And he wanted to do right, but he didn't know how to do right. So he was Ashton Sanders is the actor's name. And he was really struggling and Denzel's Robert McCall is trying to help him on the right path, but he's not going to pick him up and carry him. This kid needs to earn his way, and he makes him earn his way and find his way. And I just thought it was just powerful. That I like that more than the whole revenge storyline.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
If the full price of admission is $10, what do you give it?
I give it $6.50.
All right. Not bad.
Yeah, you saw it too. What'd you give it?
I did. I'd probably be right with you at $6.50. Maybe $7 because I cried twice.
50 cents for the extra cry.
Yeah.
I gotcha. All right. The other movie is Unfriended Dark Web. Scott saw it. I saw it too, but here's what it's about. Because you know the plot matters, right, Scott?
It does. Yeah. I think it does.
Matthias Fiennes, in quotation mark.
I knew, by the way. Yeah. Right away, I knew.
Yeah. As soon as he said, I got a laptop on eBay. I'm like, yeah, you did. All right, so Matthias finds this laptop at a coffee shop. He's also in love with Amaya, a deaf girl he's trying to find a way to communicate with. He signs in, get it, and begins a game night with his friends over Skype. Man. Yeah, you're welcome. And then someone finds their way into his PC and demands it back. Before long, we find ourselves deep into the dark web, and everybody's now a target. Scott.
Yes, sir.
Like the first Unfriended, the entire film takes place on one computer screen using Skype and various other technologies to tell a story. Does it seem as fresh the second time around to you?
It does for me. This is actually the third time around because there was an Elijah Wood movie that did the same concept quite a while ago. Mm-hmm. I'm a sucker for this style of movie, and it completely worked for me. I was captivated from the opening moments when he's like trying to log into this computer and you don't even know what's going on. I mean, he's navigating a computer the way that, you know, we all do, like flipping back and forth between applications. And I was engaged. I really was engaged the whole time. And I'm officially a sucker for this style of movie, and I can't wait to see more of them.
So overall, these films are not meant to be weighty character pieces. They're horror movies, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
Did it entertain you? Did the concept, did the way it played out, did it entertain you?
It did all the way up until the truly horrific moment started happening. Like, I feel like it kind of fell off the wheels a little bit in terms of, like, when people started dying, it just slightly kind of was a little bit like, come on. You know what I mean? It just, I don't know. And especially the ending, it felt like such a good setup, and the ending felt very forced to me. Obviously, I'm not going to give it away, but...
Yeah, it did.
It just felt like we got to come up with something, and this is the best idea we've got. And then I kind of walked out of the theater going, well, if that's what happened, I'm backtracking and thinking about all the steps that had to take place in order for that to happen, and it just doesn't add up. So I loved it up until the final moments. It was intense. It was well done. It was well shot. Even though, obviously, like you said, it's all on one computer screen, it really, really worked. Outside of the computer issues, by the way, there are things on that computer that don't work the way they work on a computer.
Have you ever seen a computer reboot that fast in your lifetime?
No. Yeah. No.
it just doesn't happen.
And although, once you know the story and know the guy behind it, he probably had money to pay for ones that we can't. So who knows?
I don't know about that. It still doesn't reboot that quick. I'm with you on all that. The last 15, 20 minutes is really where it just kind of went, what? So much what? In that last 20 minutes. It's tough.
It felt like they were they came up with this really cool idea and then had to come up with a way to feel like they misdirected you the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Like they wrote the ending last. You know what I mean? That's what it felt like.
So
I don't know how
many pieces have to work for it to pay off the way that it does, but whatever. So if $10 is full price of admission, what do you give Unfriended Dark Web?
Despite the ending, I still really enjoyed the ride. I gave it $7.50.
Oh, wow. You really dug it.
Whoa.
I really did like it. Not perfect, but the minor issues towards the final act weren't enough to drop it below that. I would watch it again.
Well, Scott and I see differently on that one. I would give it $4.50.
Wow. That is very different.
Last 20 minutes really bugged me a lot.
If they hadn't done the last 20 minutes the way they did, would it have been where Scott's at for you?
I thought it was a great movie until the last 20, 25 minutes. Yep.
So you probably would have been up there with him.
Yeah. $8 probably. It was great. Like legitimately way better than the first one, I thought.
And the first one was fun.
Yeah. I liked the first one, but it was better than that one until it wasn't.
And there's another one coming out. Have you seen the one? They had to put the trailer before yours, too. Searching with John Cho.
That looks great. And that actually was at South By. But maybe it was Profile that was at South By. I don't remember. It was playing somewhere at Sundance, maybe. And I heard it's fantastic. So I will definitely see that one.
What's that one?
His daughter gets kidnapped.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that one. Okay, that's
and
what
so
I was...
And so he's using online to find her.
Yeah, that one looks good.
And he finds out he doesn't know her.
What?
You know, it's been like 15 years, but I still can't see John Cho and not see Harold and Kumar. Like, it's hard to shake that for me.
Maybe that's how he had the kid. He got high and...
He doesn't know her.
Like, by the end of the trailer, he's like, I don't know my daughter.
I thought you meant, like, that's not really... I was like,
you know,
that doesn't
always make
sense.
I know my daughter. And at the end, he's like, I don't know my daughter.
Yeah, okay. I don't know my daughter.
Last movie, Mamma Mia 2. That's Scott and Amanda. Take it away.
Well, Amanda saw this one, and thank God, because I sure wasn't going to review it. this is the sequel to the 2008 movie Mamma Mia, which is about Sophie trying to figure out which of these three different guys is her father. Is it three guys?
Yeah.
And it's based on the music of ABBA. And this one is 5 years after the events of that one, and Sophie is learning about her mother's past a little bit while she's actually also pregnant herself. So you got that mama in the Mamma Mia coming there. So Amanda, for those like myself who skipped the original movie, can you give us a quick recap a little bit better than I did of how it ties into the sequel? Or is there any more behind it than that?
I think you really did recap it as much needs to be recapped. But
that's all the story is. That's really all the story is. Okay.
So Sophie's getting married. She wants her father to be there, but she doesn't know who her dad is. She finds this.
Still?
She's in her, 20s or something like that. And so she finds this diary with the names of the guys that her mom was with, which was Meryl Streep. And she contacts all of those three men behind her mom's back and invites them to her wedding on this Greek island that her mom has been living at and raising her child for, her whole life. And that's where she ends up getting pregnant at. So she stays there. She
builds happen?
This hotel. Well, because that's what the second movie is about. How did it happen?
Never mind.
So we're not going to go into the graphics. This isn't a health class, Scott. If you need a tutorial, I'll send you to a website. But I mean, that's really what it is. And the mom ends up reconnecting with one of the men that she was always, you know, the deepest in love with. And then they end up getting married and Sophie doesn't. So that's like the whole movie. There you go. So the second one is to, and I really wish they wouldn't have put the pregnancy part in there, because they don't tell you that till the very end of the movie. Like, why it's in the trailer and all of that, it should not be, because it was they let it as a surprise in the movie.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm a fan of musicals, but to be perfectly honest, I'm not a fan of ABBA or disco music in general. So can you sell me on the quality of the music in this film? I mean, is it done in a way that will work for a person like me who's actually glad he missed the 70s?
Yes, I think I actually can sell you on this. Just the creative aspect alone, because the first one was not, oh, it was not good. I only watched it so I could understand the second one, which apparently I didn't even need to do because I could have figured it out anyway. The first one was not very good, in my opinion. The music was just there because the music wanted to be there. The second one creates the storyline around the music, and it's not just the hits from ABBA. So they have like one tiny sequence with Dancing Queen. Obviously Mamma Mia's in it, but it's Lily James singing it, and she is not only a stunner on screen, but she has a really beautiful voice. So she has a modern take on the song. It still sounds like it, but it just sounds better.
Does it still sound like disco, or does it sound like musical?
I think it sounds more musical. I don't think it sounds, when you compare like the actual song from ABBA and you listen to the soundtrack, because you can go to Spotify and listen to the soundtrack, obviously it's the same song, but it sounds a lot better. And I really, really appreciated the way they utilized the music, because they really do craft their movie around the songs. Like, there's a scene in the very beginning where Amanda Seyfried, I can never figure out how to pronounce her name. She's laying on a bed, and part of the lyrics of the song is like, she's this person's in her bed and she like doesn't want to, she wants to be somewhere else. And it is crafted into that story. And that's how every song seems to work. And they did that way better this time than they did the first.
Okay. Well, last thing I want to ask you is, I don't think I've seen Cher in a movie since the Farrelly Brothers movie Stuck on You. So how was it seeing her on the big screen again?
Well, I saw her when she did, what was that movie with Christina Aguilera?
Burlesque?
Oh,
Burlesque.
Yes, yeah. And I love that movie. So she was, they kind of give it away in the trailer, like all of the good parts with Cher in the trailer. She does some singing, which is fun. You know, it's nice. She has a very like small storyline that they throw in there at the end where it's like, oh, hey, here's this, because we need to use this song. That's probably the only song that felt like, okay, we got to get another one in before it ends. So, I mean, it was nice to see her on screen. It also looks like her mouth barely moves. So, it's a little scary.
Botox.
Yeah. I'm a little concerned for her. But, I mean, she was fine. She was nice. She wouldn't sell the movie for me by any means, because she has such a minimal role in it.
Gotcha. So, what's your final verdict?
I gave it $6 if the full admission price is
$10. Nice.
I really, now that I sit on it, I like it a lot more, and the music I still play.
That's too bad. All right, so we've got some new releases. We're going to burn through these quick, and then we're going to call it a day. It's been a long show.
Yes, we are. Okay, so first up, Mission Impossible Fallout, starring one of the most talented stunt performers and most okayest actors in Hollywood, Tom Cruise. Alongside Mr. Controversial Mustache, Henry Cavill, they will have some hand-to-hand combat, which will be tons of fun, and we'll find out if that mustache was worth it. Ethan Hunt and IMF team join forces with the CIA assassin August Walker to prevent a disaster of epic proportions. Someone's got plutonium, someone else is threatening a nuclear attack on the Vatican. You know, just an average Wednesday. It'll be fun.
I want to go back to Vatican.
Vatican, I'm so mad at
this. It's a Vatican and a Vatican.
By the way, did you notice in the trailer how Henry Cavill like reloads his arms before he punches Ethan Hunt?
Yep.
It's like he's reloading him. Like,
that's so funny. I did not notice that, but now I'm going to go watch it to see.
You're not going to be able to not see it next time. Because that trailer is in front of everything, by the way.
I've already seen every. I've seen GIFs of that, of him like.
Really?
Yeah, he's like, he's walking through and he's got his shirt on and he does a. And then he's got a suit on after that. It's like he's loading up a suit. It's amazing.
This guy just can't catch a break, honestly.
He can't, no.
All right, so then we have Teen Titans Go to the Movies, or Make Us Wish We Never Had, is coming out on the 27th.
Wow. John's pissed at you.
I know. A villain's maniacal plan for world domination sidetracks five teenage superheroes who dream of Hollywood stardom. Voices to help you get through it are a bunch of unrecognizable folks who have been working on Teen Titans.
Wow, you really are down on this. I think it looks funny.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
I can't wait. I can't wait to see Deadpool in it.
You and Johnny can talk about it.
Yeah. I think Nick Cage plays Superman in this or something, right?
Oh, that would be amazing.
All right, go ahead.
All right, and then we have on video on demand, The Row. An incoming college freshman must endure cruel hazing rituals and somehow evade a demented serial killer who is targeting her sorority sisters. Sounds like so much fun. Where's the Starbucks? Kings is also coming on video on demand. Millie is a hardworking, tough, and protective Los Angeles single mother with an affection for homeless children. Her neighbor, Obi, is the local loose cannon and the only white dude in an area largely inhabited by African Americans, Latinos, and Koreans. With racial tensions running high, Millie and Obi appear to be unlikely allies. But following the acquittal of four of the officers accused of beating Rodney King, the two of them must navigate the gathering chaos in the city. Not making a joke, this actually sounds interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And
it
our
does.
Yeah, our final one is on Netflix, and that is Extinction. When an infection turns most of humanity into rabid zombies, yes, this is happening again, two men, Matthew Fox and Jeffrey Donovan, and a 9-year-old girl, Quinn McColgan, must barricade themselves against their monstrous attackers. It's on Netflix, so at least it's free.
I think I've seen that movie 87 times.
Yeah, pretty much.
But you haven't seen it with Matthew Fox and Jeffrey Donovan.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, there's that.
So out of this nice array of catalog that we have here, what are you guys going to see?
I'm going to get Lost in the Burn Notice and watch me some Extinction.
Yeah?
No.
Okay.
Mission Impossible.
Yeah, I can't wait to see Mission Impossible. That trailer gets it's sick and tired I get of seeing trailers over and over again. That's one that every time I see it, I get more and more excited. I can't wait.
You know what's funny? Like this summer, every week has been a sequel. Every single week, I think, has been a sequel this summer. And I keep getting more excited as the summer's going on for the sequels that are coming. This is probably, like, I've heard...
The summer of sequels?
Yeah, and I've heard nothing but great things about this movie. Like, it's one of the best ones. I'm like, it's six movies in! And it's the one of the best ones? Are you kidding me? I can't wait to see it.
Yeah. I'll be seeing it.
And it's the
it.
First direct sequel to a Mission Impossible movie. So
right.
All the other ones are standalones. This one is a direct sequel to the last one.
So I'm not going to understand it?
You'll have to watch the first one.
I'm not going back to that.
That last one was great. I don't care what you say about hating Tom Cruise. It was good.
Oh, he's a great stunt performer.
No, but he's not. He broke his ankle the last time. Yeah. So obviously not great.
On screen, he looks like a ton of fun. He's very risky. He's also taking jobs from stunt performers.
Have you seen the thing where they point out that Tom Cruise now is the same age as Wilford Brimley when he did Cocoon, and they show his face, the both of them together, and it's wow. Like Wilford Brimley is this old ass man and Tom Cruise looks like Tom Cruise.
It's funny.
It's like, wow. Dianetics by L. Ron Hubbard.
Tom Cruise is taking the same stuff that Paul Rudd is, I think.
He is, man. He's doing, where's that Scientology magic? You gotta get in there. That stuff works.
Feet magic. I'm a believer now.
All right. Anything? We've talked a long time, but real quick, Scott, is there any recent film or TV recommendations you want to talk about before we head out?
Recent-ish. I know that John mentioned this on one episode previously, and it's an old documentary, but they released some new episodes recently. The Staircase.
Mm-hmm.
I finally got through all the old episodes before they released the new stuff and started watching the what is it, like five episodes that they released more recently?
I think it was like three. I think it was only like three.
No, it was like eight and then five more. It was 13
okay.
total
wow,
episodes. So, and yeah, that first, everyone says that The Staircase is like the gold standard in terms of crime documentaries or whatever, or true crime documentaries.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like they're saying that because this is one of the first ones, because they take this story and they drag it out for a long, long time, man. Really long time. And I feel like I was happy with the way it ended, and I'm still not finished with the last five, but it is it's a slog. It's even more of a slog. So I need to finish it, but I'm not super excited about it.
Yeah, but I'm the same with you. I don't have any intention. To me, crime dramas at this or crime documentaries, you get 1-2 hour stops. I'm not giving you 10 episodes, 13 episodes. I'm not doing it.
Well, I'm so invested. I got to see it to its conclusion now.
Then just go watch the last episode. Problem solved.
Maybe. But here's what's interesting about this is when this crime happened, they just had a documentary crew just start filming. And when I say they're filming, they're just like hanging out in the house while the family is like talking. Like, there's so many conversations of the family just hanging out and like talking about the case themselves. That has to be so awkward, man. You know what I mean? It's not like interviews. It's just like The Office. Like there's just a camera hanging around. I don't know. And then every once in a while they do an interview.
I don't have any interest in it.
Yeah. I'm not saying I know it sounds like I'm trying to steer you away from it. I'm really not, because it is interesting. But to me, it's not the gold standard. I would take The Jinx or even Making a Murderer or the one I watched recently about the woman with the double personality.
Wild Country?
No, not Wild Country. Wild Country was another one that was dragged out too long. But the same, the Duplass Brothers one. Woman.
Evil Genius.
Evil Genius. Evil Genius is great. That one deserved the extra episodes. So.
All right, Amanda, anything?
Yeah, real quick, Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I just finished the catching up on it, so I saw the most recent finale, and it was so good. That show is amazing. I've gone back and restarted it already.
Okay. Wow. I guess.
It's funny, and I'm not big on Andy Samberg usually, like I didn't used to be, but now after watching him, I feel like he's not always that obnoxious character in the show, so I like it. I laugh. I love the characters. I love the dynamics. I love the story, the writing. Give me the 9-9.
Okie dokie. I finally got through Shooter Season 2 because it's on Netflix. And I love me some Shooter. That show has done way better than I ever thought possible because Ryan Felipe has never had a successful TV show that went more than one season. It's really good. He's really good in it. And I really dig that show. Season 3, I think, is already going on USA, so you can catch it up. I'm not going to say anything about it. It's okay.
I have only one episode into
Settle
season
down.
Two.
I can't believe he died in the last episode. Nah, I'm just kidding. Just
what's
kidding.
Season 3 going to be about then?
It's just his wife, sad, looking for her shooter. Where'd he go? All right, well, that's going to do it for this episode. You can always email us at feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com. Join our Facebook group or on Twitter at @BuyPopcorn. Remember to grab the Hole in the Go with our Android app, Spotify, subscribe and review us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher. Podcast is always available on your app of choice. And podcast awards. Go to podcastawards.com if you want to vote for us. It's last week. July 31st, last day. If you're listening after that, it doesn't matter. But go to podcastawards.com. Vote for The Hollywood Outsider. I can't speak. I'm so choked up that you would vote for us. You can also find John's artwork on Insta and everywhere else at rjohn.draws. He'll be back next week. Amanda on Smirk, Scott Clark on The Gaming Outsider, and me on my other podcast, Remake This Movie Right, which is going to have its final episode pretty soon. Dun, dun, dun. Scotty, thanks for coming by on your summer vacay.
Hey, thanks for having me, man. This is a lot of fun getting back on here and talking with you guys about movies and TV shows.
How do you feel about having another one of those like 3-hour episodes where it just keeps going like an Energizer Bunny?
Well, you know, not doing it every week, it doesn't bother me as much, but I don't miss it. But it was fun tonight.
Good call. Well, thanks for coming by, man. I really appreciate it. And remember, everybody, the next time you head to a theater, buy popcorn.
Next time you head to a theater, buy popcorn. Buy popcorn.
Buy popcorn.
What would the ABBA version be?
Buy your popcorn.
Next time you head to a theater, pay their man, buy some popcorn.
There you go. That was a nice little jam.
Popcorn man. You can get the popcorn man.
Your head,
I think that's
moves
like all of the ABBA songs I know.
They had more than one?
The soundtrack has probably like 13 songs that they incorporate into the movie.
You know what's really cool about ABBA? That is
They're
ABBA.
Dead.
It's ABBA spelled backwards. What?
What'd you say, Scott?
They're dead.
Wow.
That just happened.
You went there.